News Talk 600.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Bellotta. Family and friends bracing themselves to bury the first of two of the 20 young children killed in Newtown, Connecticut. ABC's Aaron Katursky is there.
One of the first victims to be buried is the youngest, 6-year-old Noah Posner. His uncle has described him as smart as a whip. His twin sister Ariel was assigned to another first grade class at Sandy Hook Elementary and survived the shooting. Jack Pinto will also be buried. The 6-year-old was a big fan of the New York Giants. Star receiver Victor Cruz wrote Jack's name on his cleats and gloves for Sunday game.
As they try to cope with their loss, Chris and Richard Ricos find comfort in talking about their 6-year-old daughter, Jessica.
She was a ball of fire. She was a
little CEO, we called her. She was the boss.
Will schools reopen before the holiday break? New Town News Lieutenant George Finko.
There will be no school today. The plan is to try to
your child. ABC News Chief Health and Medical Editor Dr. Richard Besser says
it depends so much on their age, their level of development, and knowing your own child.
The gun control debate is organized on the National Ceasefire Day was organized on Facebook. The issue of mental health also discussed with former health advisors that had several disorders which are noted. Can a kid drink too much milk? Yes, according to new research. To advise, you can have 2 cups of milk a day. More than that, the iron levels necessary for brain development could drop. This is ABC News.
Tina and her husband owed big money to the IRS.
We owed over $50,000.
They were frightened out of their wits.
Oh, my gosh, it was horrible. I thought we were going to lose everything.
Tina found the expert help she and her husband so desperately needed.
You guys were awesome. They stopped the IRS from putting liens on our homes and our cars. They stopped them from freezing our bank accounts. They took the IRS off our back. We really can't thank them enough.
The team of professionals at Authority Tax Services help you and your husband, and they can help you. Authority Tax Services is accredited by the Federal Bureau.
We saved a whole lot of money.
You too may qualify to get up to 85% or more on your tax liability or for other special programs. $1,000, call Authority Tax Services now at 800-645-1792. Call now for your free no-obligation consultation. 800-645-1792. 800-645-1792.
A funeral held in India was a British nurse used by Australian DJs impersonating Queen Elizabeth and Prince Charles to try to get a connection on Kate Middleton. Tom Rivers has more from the foreign desk.
Friends and relatives of Jacinta Saldana crowded into the local church for the emotional prayer service, followed by the burial in the nearby cemetery. Her grave is marked by a simple cross. Her husband and two children had accompanied the body on a somber flight of love. He answered a prank phone call from Pat DJ that London's King Henry was at home as the hues of the fair
suit. His son is hiding in his breath. For the first time since being hospitalized, this is your morning.
Bloodthirsty lawyer wants to sue you. How would you protect yourself? Affordable liability insurance from Safebonda. For not a lot of money, you can protect yourself from your own mistakes. Call 1-800-SAFEBONDA now. Drive safe, spend time,
SAFEBONDA. Gambling on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional, caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol. helping you on the road to recovery.
Local restaurants, shops, clubs, and more, with savings of 50 to 90% every time. Live more, Japan today. Close the home line.
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Talking about what's on our mind and here waiting to hear from you about what's on your mind. I've gotten some questions already about the shooting, and we're going to talk about that shooting today up in Connecticut, the very, very heinous, nasty, ugly shooting of what is going on here in Connecticut. And somebody asked me, where was my God when these 20 kids were destroyed? Well, first of all, let me say something to you. God is here all the time, and he is speaking all the time. It is on us to try to hear what he's saying, not for him to try to come to our level, per se. He already came to our level in that we as the Christians believe that that God is a certain way, that he's always there, he's always listening, he always sees and hears us. One thing God did is he gave the earth to men. and sent, gave them the responsibility to reproduce, to subdue, and to replenish the earth. In other words, he gave us this land, this house, called the atmosphere, and the wholeness of this planet called Earth, and put it in our hands. It is absolutely what he did. In doing so, he gave us a choice. He told us some do's and don'ts. And he says, if you do what I'm telling you, everything will work fine. But when you don't do what I tell you to do, stuff is going to be kind of messed up for you.
I'm hey, sorry, buddy. Jeff. That's not true. That's crap.
It's going to be messed up for you. So here it is. We're not listening to him. And then we're all shocked when something goes wrong. It's just like they tell you, well, don't pour sugar in your gas tank. You know, why not? You mess something up. But then we get this person that says, but you know what? The gas will be so much sweeter if we put sugar in it. There's nothing wrong with putting sugar in gas. And so now when the car acts up and messes up, we're tripping. We're angry. God gave us this car and he gave us this gas, and now look at it. Look at what's happening. You didn't listen. He says, I put before you this day life. Choose it that you might live. Life and death, excuse me. Choose life that you might live. In 1970, we legalized murder in this country. It's called Roe v. Wade. It is the most heinous law. It is the most wicked law. It is the most violent law. Because abortion is nothing short of violent. I don't know what you know. I don't know what you don't know about the process. But I do want you to know that it's violent. Especially those things that President Clinton and then Senator Obama wanted to make legal, which is partial birth abortion, which is actually putting the head of the baby in forceps and crushing it. The baby moves around, he flails, he does everything because he knows he's hurting. He's experiencing pain. It is not a tissue mass. This is craziness. When you make these things legal, you destroy and spot your land. Nothing short, not just as simple as that.
That's crap.
So now, when you have people losing their minds and going crazy, this woman, from what I understand, had bad judgment in the first place, teaching her autistic Asperger's son to fire a weapon when he should have been under no ability to be able to fire a weapon. So it is crazy. And Stanley, the one thing about abortion all over the world, it's a multi-billion, maybe trillion-dollar industry. So don't think that they're just doing somebody a favor by allowing abortion. It's a billion-dollar, multiple billions of dollars in revenue a year. And a lot of governments are paying for it. And the aim and the goal is to reduce the population because they feel that there's too many people on Earth.
That's crap.
So with that, if you think I'm crazy, call me, 330-781-9600. Or on my unlimited internet lines, 1-345-5229. Sticks, how you doing over there, buddy?
Oh, I'm in shock.
I know.
Like the rest of the country, I'm in shock.
Yeah, this is terrible. This is absolutely horrendous. And we're going to get into the politics of it in a minute because, of course, now we have the consoler-in-chief. The consoler-in-chief.
Well, it amazes me. It took like 25 seconds before we got, after this happened, before we got into an assault weapons ban again.
Assault weapons ban, there we go.
It's just amazing, you know. When
Must take the guns out of the hands of the people because, you know, why should they have it because something like this could happen?
Right, and the same people that jumped right on the assault weapons ban now are the same people that after the Colorado shootings were saying that the NRA should be allowing people to grieve before it starts.
Right.
Before it starts ramping up to protect the Second Amendment.
Right.
Hey, I heard an interesting piece of information about that shooting.
Okay.
That night there were 7 theaters.
Oh yeah, I heard.
There
that.
Were
go ahead.
7 theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Here we
in the
go
Colorado
again.
Area showing that same movie.
Mm-hmm.
7 theaters, including the largest theater in the state of Colorado.
Right.
The shooter drove past 2 of those theaters,
mm-hmm.
the one closest to his house and the largest one in the state of Colorado,
mm-hmm.
to get to the one where he did the shooting. Do you know what the one thing that the theater with, that had the shooting had that none of the rest of them had?
They had a prohibition.
A sign on the door saying your concealed carry license is not welcome in our theater.
And that
one theater out of 7.
And guess what? What does that let you know?
Yep.
Nobody in here is going to have a weapon.
Yep.
Liberal One, you are on the air. What you got to say?
Like Six said, it was tragic what happened Friday. I'm still in awe. I can't
Very.
Believe. 20 kids, really? Please. I'm completely shocked. I'm completely... What do you want me to say with this? Like, there's nothing I could say.
No, there's nothing to say, but you know, but we have to deal with what's going on here. And
And Jeff, I'm sorry to say the thing that you just said is crap. A thing of God.
What is crap?
What you just said. Oh, God did decide not to interfere, and then it's crap. I'm sorry.
What? Stan, slow down, Stanley. Because I didn't say that. I don't know what you're talking. I didn't say that.
I'm telling you, crap. That's the reason more and more people are not believing in your God concept. That's the reason that
Stanley, what did I say? Because you said something and you ran past
Everything
it so
that
fast.
You said in the beginning of the show, you said it. Oh, God did that because we're not following His law.
No, I did not. No,
and
I did not.
Abortion is the worst thing since sliced
bread. Yeah.
And since we
yes.
do that, we're
yes.
not surprised at the consequence of doing that. That God doesn't protect our land. And I
yes.
come back to you and see that the countries that have abortion, it doesn't have the thing that we do. That's crap.
Once again, Stanley.
Jeff, let's get it real. Your God does not exist because of God.
Okay.
Almighty.
No. Wait a minute.
Who's all this? Who's all everything that you see should have been interfering for those 20 kids? 20 innocent kids died, Jeff. When
yes.
are you going to say that it's enough? When are you going to say that your God doesn't?
Oh,
exist?
Wait a minute.
When are you going to say it? When, Jeff? When?
Let me get a preach on.
Shame on you to believing that crap. Shame on you, Jeff.
Okay, Stanley, you sit back and listen for a minute, and we'll discuss this, and maybe you'll catch something. 330-261, you're on air.
Hey, Jeff.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I can't deal with Stanley.
Hold on, local caller. Hold on, 261. Let me get this local guy. Local caller, you're on air. Talk to me.
Hey, it is certainly tragic, and, you know, it's interesting the moment at things like that, you have the questions about where is God. You know,
right.
what's really amazing is the fact that this type of thing does not happen all the time.
Right.
And why does it not happen all the time? It is only because of God's grace.
Absolutely.
That's why this type of stuff doesn't happen all the time. Now, when you take God out of the equation, you have this type of phenomena as a norm.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. I guess Styx, he's certainly not a believer in God at all.
No, no, not Styx.
Stanley.
That's Stanley.
Stanley.
Okay, who, I'm sorry, Stanley.
Yeah.
But, you know, tragedy is the norm without God's grace. That's what he doesn't realize.
Absolutely.
And this is why our country, not just this country, that the world is passing away. And
sir,
until people understand
sir.
That God really exists, and if he does exist, then we need to find out what's his agenda for change. And certainly the remedy for this condition, which is a sinful condition, is his son.
Sir.
Pastor, no, hold on, Stanley. Hold on, I'm not done here. We're getting ready to go to break here in about 30 seconds. I wanted to add this so that Stanley can think about this during the break. The thing is I said it once and twice. God gave us a manual of how to do things. And when you go against the manual of any manufacturer, you can have problems with your product. Now, if we have the world, whether it's you believe in God or not, there's some things you just don't do. And when you allow those things, when you go against the very nature to which you are here on earth, and you go against its laws, you're going to pay a consequence. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back. Call us online. Hold on.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number. 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Who's the person who just called and said that, oh, if we take God of the concept
that's
and
me.
Everything. Okay, sir, you're completely wrong. Do a search on the Google
net. Woo! Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolution. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com or hit us on Facebook. Or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner city organization of believers present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time. And that's what we do at HeartReach. And we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more. And hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I tell you what, I will listen to you if you will listen to me.
Go ahead.
Of course I
Oh, yeah, we're back. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. David Bowie. Afraid of Americans. Most definitely. I am definitely afraid of Americans. And I was called a Bible thumper inside the room. I don't thump my Bible. I read it. I read it and I study it just to see whether they... You know what? 4,000... Now, this is one of our callers. Here it says, 4,000 churches a year close in this country. 2.5 million people leave the church a year in this country. It's a wonderful thing. You know what? It sure is, because then the real people will be left. And that's what the deal is, because there's so many fake people calling themselves Christians for the reason of whatever. Okay, local calls. I only got one local line, and I got one guy on it right now. And, Pastor, I don't know whether you could call on the line or not, because I'd like to keep you on a little longer.
What's
our call-in number, unlimited lines, is 1-347-945-5229. And that way I can get some of these other people that don't usually call in on the local lines.
Okay. Hold on.
347.
Right,
just
when I'm driving.
Mhm. Oh, I got you.
Okay, 347.
945.
Mhm.
5229.
Okay, I'll call that.
Thank you, sir. Local caller, you're on air.
This is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
No, Jeff. What I was gonna say, man. Sometimes I think the reason why some people like Stanley and some other people have a hard time embracing Christianity because they see hypocrisy in religion.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, people claim to be Christians and their conduct is no different than us in the world is. And so, you know, ministers, those who are in the church have to set a good example. I mean, because we have to recognize that no one's perfect in the church neither.
Well, the thing is people don't understand it, period, because you've been introduced to a religion and not a relationship with God, and that's a big, big difference. And that's what I try to show the difference of. You don't have to walk around with your head up in the air looking toward the sky every minute to be a Christian. You're a believer. You believe that God is real. You try to communicate with God, not that, you know, you think that you're perfect or this, because God said, if any man say he doesn't have sin, he's a liar, and the truth is not in it. But he said, but if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive it. So the thing is people have to get to the understanding that this is not just a religion here. We're not doing religion. At least I don't. I don't do anything religion.
But,
like that.
But Jeff, how can you pray all those God that you're saying, a God who's not sincere? What kind of God are we talking about? Are we talking about
What kind of God does what?
What kind of God are we talking about? Are we talking about God who never interfere, or we're talking a God who doesn't interfere?
Just like the incident that happened, Jeff. Some people would ask, well, if God is an all-loving God, a just God, why does he permit something like that to happen? Now, I already understand why.
Okay, well, I was explaining that.
Question.
I mean, I already know why, Jeff.
Okay, why do you know why?
Because I know that there is an adversary who the Bible in 1 John says the whole world is lying in the power of him.
Okay, what is he there for? Why is he there?
He is an angel who rebelled against God,
mm-hmm.
and he caused the first human family to...
Whatever, okay, and since he was the first one to rebel, what happened to him?
Well, the Bible says he is a god in his system.
No, but what happened to him? Here's the story. Let's get this thing, because I don't want to get in on this. This is not a religion class.
The thing about it is that, you know, I can't... go to the scriptures and point them out myself.
Well, you don't have to. The story is this, Stanley, that because men entered sin, we have people making some very wicked choices. But God gave us all
free will.
And so because
free will comes with responsibility. I know the story.
It doesn't matter about responsibility.
I know the story. I know
Stanley,
comes with Satan and this and that angel was kicked out by God.
No,
I know the story, Jeff. You're not answering the real question when I came in.
What is your real question, Stanley, so that I can answer it directly for you?
Let's go with the real question. You and me or any human being in this world would have the power of God, would have interfered. That's the real question.
Once again, Stanley, get a hold of yourself here and quit being so angry about not believing God. I'm not angry that you don't believe it.
No, I'm angry at you of saying things that doesn't make sense. And not.
Well, then you don't. Look, Stanley, it doesn't matter what I say that doesn't make sense to you.
No,
I'm saying what I believe.
It doesn't make sense to anybody. Because I'm not angry at you, Jeff. I'm angry that you don't see it like this. Let me push myself a little bit back. If God does, God,
hold on, Steve.
Does not interfere, what does that say? A God that you pray, I'm sure that...
Once again, Stanley, you don't understand the setup here. Can I give you the setup, Stanley? Okay, now, God made us on this earth in our belief, okay? He gave the earth to us and said to replenish, subdue, cultivate, replenish, and hold on, Steve, hold on, brother. Okay, and told us to control and manage the earth. So he made us the boss of this place, okay? Understand that. Now, him making the boss of the place, you have to understand something. We messed up something in the system and we gave ourselves a virus. We gave ourselves the spiritual AIDS virus called sin. And sin was pervasive throughout all men from the very beginning because the first man failed and sinned, which means he went against God, and he created for himself a very bad situation. That situation is that sin was pervasive throughout all of mankind.
And that's why we all have to die.
That's why we all have to die, because he said, in the day that you sin, you shall surely die. Okay, now. Okay, Stanley, here's the other setup. He gave it to us, and he gave us free will.
So what, Jeff? That doesn't.
So in other words, he does not sit around.
You're not answering the question. I know he gave us free will. I know the story. You're not answering the true question.
I'm answering you the total question.
You're avoiding
Stanley.
The question again.
Stanley, the same reason why one of my relatives got out from under the protection of God, that he got shot down. That's the same reason. When you get out away from God and what he told you to do,
what happened?
You're in danger. You're in danger. Listen. You're in danger anyway.
When your nation
legalizes evil, wicked things, you bring judgment on yourself.
That is so nice to you. So God has no responsibility.
He had the responsibility.
Jeff,
he made the place.
God, Jeff, I love your God. God
Stanley,
no
you're so stupid. I hate to say that to you.
You're not listening.
Once again, you don't listen. Once again, Stanley, I'll say it again. I'm going to leave it alone. God gave us the earth, and he set it up for us to run. If we don't run it right, it's not his fault. He told us what to do to run it right. When we get away from running it right, we get stuff messing up. If you don't put oil in your doggone car, Stanley, it's going to start to burn up. It ain't going to burn up right away. It's going to take time. You're going to hear little things going wrong. You're going to hear a grinding here. You're going to hear something there. Why? Because you didn't do what the manufacturer told you to do.
Jeff, let me
but
give you a perfect
in some ways,
example.
Jeff, at one time, abortion was against the law in this country.
It doesn't matter whether it's against the law. It's always against God's law.
No. It was never. It was never against the law in the whole country. That was a state's rights issue, and abortion was a state's rights issue.
It doesn't matter, Doc, because the thing is when you do things that God told you not to do.
Well, I mean, in the South, I think.
It doesn't matter what the South or the North, Stanley.
Did, practice abortion.
Oh,
themselves.
God. Stanley. I mean, Steve, it doesn't matter who practiced to what. When your nation legalizes it, your nation gets judged.
Yeah, whatever.
Understand
Jeff,
that.
Jeff, it doesn't make sense. So God,
it doesn't make sense to you because you don't understand
it.
Okay.
What is the responsibility of God? God has no.
I just told you the responsibility of God.
So
God gave us.
Responsibility of...
Okay, once again, Stanley, I shut you off.
But then.
Steve, you're talking to yourself, brother.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get into a thing lesson because I want to talk about this shooting and what did it and what caused it. And Stanley wants to get in and blame God for it. God is not responsible for that shooting. That man and whoever raised him and got him to the point that he was at is responsible for that shooting, not anybody else.
Well, we all agree on that, but God, we don't.
I agree with what you said.
Guns don't have anything to do with it, Steve.
Well, I mean, you know, I know this country has what they call a second right.
How the hell did that happen?
You know, I mean,
it's too late.
In other words, I know that we have a second right amendment in this country here, Jeff.
It doesn't matter, Steve.
It gives you the right to bear arms.
Yes, sure does.
But, I mean, you know, I can understand having a gun to protect your family because we do live in a world that's very lawless. But do you ever stop and think that wouldn't you like to see lawless come to an end?
It's not going to, Stanley. We know better. I mean, Steve, we know better than that. And so the thing.
I mean, the Bible says that in the future.
In the future.
God's going to do away with. Wicked people.
Absolutely. But he hasn't done it yet, has he?
No, he has.
No. So while he hasn't done away with them yet, we have a right, thank God, in this country still, and we have a responsibility to protect ourselves.
Well,
that's what we have. And
but
so,
I mean, but Jeff, I go back to when I was a youth. The only, I think there were a shooting at a campus at a university. That was one time that I can remember an incident happened like that.
Listen. We see this one. Do we see every day them kids getting shot down in New York, Chicago, Atlanta, Miami, L.A.,
yes, in the bigger
friends, San Francisco?
It goes on every
Do
day.
We are we seeing that?
It goes on every day.
Every day.
But there was a time when I was a youth, it didn't go on.
There was a time when. When
I
you,
lived in a big city, too.
You
didn't go on every day.
When you were a youth, they had not legalized abortion yet, either.
And I want you to consider.
Maybe it's because we trust one another and we.
Steve, nothing to do with it.
I want you to consider something else, Steve. Of the six commandments dealing with man with man's relationship to man, there is only one commandment that you have to teach somebody to do. The other five we do all on our own without being taught. The sixth one is to murder. A sane human being does not murder another human being. So what we've done is we've loosed our morality. We've taken any concrete form of morals out of our society.
Right.
Then we've placed our children in front of a television set using the same technology that the military uses to train soldiers to kill. And we do it with glee. And we wonder why there's people shooting up schoolhouses. We know why there's people shooting up schoolhouses. We're teaching our children to shoot up schoolhouses.
Oh. And at the time when I was coming up, that type of action didn't go on.
330-518, you are on the air.
What's going on, Jeff and Drew?
What's up, Rick?
That's right, you had a minister on there, didn't you?
Don't worry about it, Steve. Just listen. Sit back and listen.
Okay, yeah, Jeff, I'm going to
All right.
Sit back and listen.
See you
okay,
later.
Take care, man.
Well, listen, check it out. I definitely understand everyone's concerns, and Jeff, you're always on point with it. I think what we have to do with people like Stanley is we have to get Stanley to understand that a lot of times in this life, things that happen to us don't make sense. And we'll just keep it naturally speaking. If you're a doctor that smokes cigarettes, but you're telling your client
not to
smoke, Stanley, does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand what you would do.
Okay, but hold on. But do you take the doctor's advice?
No.
You don't take the doctor's advice?
I see through the action of what he does. If he's smoking and everything, first of all, he wouldn't be my doctor.
Oh, Stanley, that's not true.
He sure ain't. You don't know what your doctor do when he's not on the job.
Trust me, I would change doctor. If I saw it, if I saw my doctor smoking, then in my eyes, I'm like, look, I need to change doctor.
Okay.
All right, well, Stanley, here.
Let's be
more specific, Stanley. There are a lot of things that people don't know about you that technically are questionable concerning our behavior in this society that we call a humane society, a civil society. There are a lot of things that you do that are questionable. But what you do, Stanley, is you don't show everybody what you do. With your understanding of what you call God and religion and all this stuff, if God hasn't revealed everything to you, God, and here, let's be fair, God hasn't revealed everything to myself or Jeff or Tracy. But what you have to now allow, Stanley, is the mystery of God to be just that, a mystery, and until he explains it to you, until he reveals it to you, then you can go ahead and say, I got it.
But he don't believe in God, period.
I'm sorry to say that is the same excuse we heard for other strategy. You always say the same thing because when you're cornered at a point,
Stanley, I have an honest question for you. If you do not believe in God, Stanley, if you do not believe in God, where do you find the concrete rule that says it's wrong to murder?
The law of the land?
Wait a minute. In Nazi Germany, the law of the land was okay to exterminate Jews. Was that okay? Because
Jews
it was the law of the land?
Too.
Black people?
Wait a minute, Rick, let Stanley answer that question. Six, if we're going to go there, who were responsible for the list of people who were supposed to be eliminated? You know that, Jill? Who was
the Nazis, and they were not Christians.
Except the Nazis.
They were not Christians, Stanley. They were not Christians.
Who else?
Hitler had all of the crucifixes removed from all the churches and had his picture replaced with all the crucifixes. Nazi Germany became an a-religious society. It was not Christians.
Okay. So.
Hey, Stanley.
So here we go with the Hitler thing. That Hitler, you think he wasn't Christian? Every Hitler.
Okay. What about Stalin? What about Stalin? What about Chairman Mao? What about the gulags?
The Pope didn't cover him. Yes, he did.
Listen, Stanley. Excuse my mouth, everybody, for this. I don't know where the hell you get history from, but somebody has taken your money and fooled you. Once again, Stanley, there was no Christianity in Mr. Hitler.
Yes, it was
Christian.
I suggest you read Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Let's go through the thing that he said. There is many quotes that people would tell you that comes from Hitler.
You can quote,
exactly,
listen, Stanley.
And that's
Stanley.
No, you can't have it both ways.
No, well, I'm cutting you off, first of all.
Hey, Jeff, let me ask Stanley just one question, and he doesn't have to answer.
Go ahead and ask him if you can get it in, because I got to go to somebody else.
Okay, well, check this out. Stanley, how do you know what you're breathing is called air?
Breathing is called air. What? What,
do you know? How do you know? How do you know what you're breathing is air? How do you know what you're breathing is oxygen? How do you know you're not breathing something that's killing you? How do you know, Stanley?
Well, because a scientist could show me what I'm breathing is air. I could go to
so
go see a scientist
so really
and could tell. I could go study medicine and could tell me. I could study many books and things. What's your point?
My point is, you believe something that somebody told you.
No, no,
you
I
didn't research it yourself.
I go get the information from myself. I go get the people who are responsible who showed this. First of all, I did study biology and everything. I go get the information. I don't believe.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Stanley, you didn't. You went off the other. You went off of somebody else's research, somebody else's study, and
no,
said, oh,
no, I go see the
air.
People who done the research. Who I go see this? I don't just.
People that done the research.
Nothing. It doesn't come out of just saying who is who and this and this.
Okay.
Studies. It comes out of a lot of things. It comes
Stanley.
Out of. Things like that.
Stanley, there's 27 people dead in Connecticut. What does your science say caused it? I can tell you exactly what caused it, but you tell me what your science caused it.
In my eyes and everything, the reason that those 27 people dead is because we need to change the gun law that we have in our country.
Oh my God, what the...
Stanley, do you realize that the largest mass murder in the UK, in the history of the United Kingdom, came after they confiscated every last firearm in the nation?
No,
do you know that?
Six, do you think that everybody, you should have a right
to... Do you know that? I just asked you a question. Do you know that?
What's the question?
Do you know that the largest mass murder... In the history of the United Kingdom happened after they confiscated every last legal firearm in the nation.
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, Stanley, let me ask you another one then. 330614, your line is open, and we're going to be waiting for you to say something. What did Timothy McVeigh use to kill all those people out in Oklahoma City?
Bombs.
No, it wasn't a bomb really. It was something that blew up, but it was fertilizer and kerosene.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so what are we going to do? Farmers aren't going to use kerosene or fertilizer anymore?
Just recently,
no,
a crazy man.
This is the dumb butt left thinking.
Just recently, a crazy man broke into a nursery in Scandinavia and hacked a bunch of babies to death.
Right, sure did.
So we're gonna do away with butcher knives?
Yep.
But
you're gonna do away with ball bats? More people die every year from ball bats than they do from gunshots.
Okay, but Six, explain me that. If you go to our neighbor, which is Canada, that don't have gun control, do you know how many people die by guns in Canada?
And your point is what?
It is very low. No, my point is going back to what she said, because she made a point with DK. I'm going back to...
You don't listen. You don't listen, Stanley. You got to wait now. He told you more people die of a ball bat hit to the head than do gunshots in America. Now, what part of that don't you guys on the left understand? You guys are goofy about this law because somebody gave you this idea. They're giving you the idea so you cannot defend yourself.
No.
And that's the only reason why they tell you. They don't want you to defend yourself because they're going to make you do stuff. I shut him down. He can't talk right now.
Okay.
330614, you're on there.
Hey, Jeff Sticks. How you doing?
Hey, what's
good,
up, buddy?
Good.
Wonderful discussion today. Listen, there's two statements and or questions that I pose to the left that usually goes unchallenged. Nobody ever challenges it. They actually agree with it. And those two questions are, number one, criminals will always, always be able to get assault weapons to do whatever they want to, no matter what you do with laws. The other one is, and this is the question I pose, I say, well, okay, in school, I think these school shootings and these other tragedies that happen are should be separately dealt with. I don't think it's a gun control issue, and here's why. I have people that tell me, as far as schools go, I ask them, I go, what do you think we should do to protect these kids in schools? And they say, we should have an armed security guard in the school. Well, they just admitted, to me, though, that the deterrent to somebody walking in with a gun is having somebody in the school with a gun. So they go against their own argument.
Well, that's because their argument is illogical,
Is it occurred to you that every one of these anti-gun people all have, every last one of them all have armed security around them at all times?
Yes.
So it's okay for them to have guns around them, but if you don't have enough money to hire a security firm, you're supposed to be on your own, brother.
I've never understood why, as I said, the question that I pose to them is, it's simple. It's the criminals will always be able to have access to guns in some way. And unfortunately, a lot of it deals with our own government who's coming up with these gun control laws, who's supplying our enemies with the guns.
The thing is that people don't realize when you start taking a liberal down the aisle of making him have to answer a question about what he thinks, he always gets to the same thing because it's logical. It's absolutely logical where to go with this. You know, but the thing is they're so full of ideology, and I say ideologically because they're idiots. I'm not answering you right now, Stanley, so you have to wait. The idiots on this gun control thing, because they don't understand what the consequence of taking guns out of society is. The consequence of guns out of society is you're freaking defenseless, okay? So understand that. You don't have no defense then.
Oh, yes, I do.
No, you don't. What
yes,
do
I
you
do.
Have?
Yes, I do. I just want to go back to what Six said.
No.
I want to come back. I have a defense.
Then you answer my question first. You tell me what's your defense if we take all the guns out of society.
First of all, did I say take all the guns? I said semi-automatic guns should not be any.
Okay. Semi-automatic guns. Let's take
That's
the semi-automatic guns. Let's take them out. What's your defense then?
The defense is to have stricter laws and everything to put more responsibility on the...
Stupid!
Stanley, do you know why I carry a gun in my pocket?
I ain't allowed to say that. Tracy
why
told me not
carry
to.
A gun?
Go ahead, Dix.
Because I can't keep a policeman in my pocket. when seconds count, the police are minutes away. If that principal would have had a concealed carry license, she could have dropped that clown right there in the hallway, and there probably would be 20 children alive.
Oh, and it would have been done. It would have been done easy too, because this guy was shooting his way into the school, which means it took him some time to actually enter the school.
Right.
So that amount of commotion, that gave plenty of time for anybody who was trained and licensed to carry a weapon to be able to drop that guy before he did any damage to anybody else other than himself.
Lock and load. That's what
I'm
say.
I'm sorry, I disagree with you. More guns.
You can disagree how you want to, Stanley.
Well, it's not going to resolve the issue.
You said something that really doesn't make any sense. Asked you.
Make sense,
Jeff, if you do not have,
you,
listen.
Because as a conservative, you always come to your point.
No, forget conservatism.
I want to go back to something that Six said. Because there's something that Six said. Six, you said the state of the United Kingdom. I sent it in the text room. You know that United Kingdom, over 100,000 people, they have the lowest record when it comes to gun murder.
And?
They have 0.07 compared to the United States at 3.0.
Once again, and Stanley, guess what? Guess what about the UK? Stanley, listen, and you'll understand what I'm saying to you. So what about the United Kingdom? Will you listen? I'm going to hang you up. Once again, so what about the UK? My question is, first of all, you know what they cannot do? They can't own their land either. You know what else? They can't defend themselves against anybody that might walk in that country. They're having a huge problem with the immigrant Muslims there who will think nothing of strapping on a bomb vest and blowing up a couple buses here and there once they do certain things. They're living in fear, and they cannot defend themselves. You're a fool if you don't defend yourself, and that's your event.
Jeff, you're going all over the place.
All over what place? I went straight
Stanley,
to it.
Stanley,
you're like a
what's the rate of gun ownership in Switzerland?
When we come with that, that you can't do anything.
No, I agree. I agree. There's probably less.
I care less about the stat.
I'm not going to dispute what you're saying.
They're totally different.
But it's two different. We're two different cultures. What about Switzerland? Hold it. What about Switzerland? How do you explain Switzerland?
You got to shut him down. You got to shut him down because he just keeps talking and won't stop talking.
I mean, in Switzerland, there's a semi-automatic, fully automatic weapon in every home.
Mm-hmm.
But yet there's no gun crime.
No problem. They can't explain that one either.
See, they're trying to blame guns. They're trying to blame guns. For it's not guns, it's a cancer in the soul of America is what it is.
Right.
We don't have any regard for life anymore like we did have. If we had regard for life, these shootings wouldn't happen. Governor Huckabee spoke this weekend, and he talked about when he was in high school, every pickup truck had a gun rack in it.
Okay.
And people took their guns to school every day. They hunted before school and they hunted after school. There was never a school shooting. It's the disregard for human life that we are fostering in this nation that's causing this, not firearms.
That's the whole point right there. 269, you're on the air. Go on, Michigan man. 269-33-323, you're on the air. All right, South, you're on the air. 330-261 and 330-788. You are there. I don't know that you want to talk unless you hit number one on your dial. And we'll get back. We got 3 minutes before the top of the hour news. And so 843 South Carolina, you are on the air. Okay. Well, it's okay the things that are going on. Local caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jeff, are y'all off the air or something?
No. Why?
Because I can't get you on the radio. You have a guest or something on your show?
No. We'll see what's going on, and we'll find out whether we're broadcasting. But we have to be broadcasting because I'm getting a lot of local calls.
Oh, I see.
So it's 600 on your radio now. All right, buddy.
Well, anyway, Jeff, I did have something else to say here. Well, Jeff, I mean, as a Christian, do you ever think that, do you ever think that we could be living in the last days and God is giving us, that in other words, God's adversary, he knows that his time is short and that he's trying to corrupt.
Are you trying to witness? Is that what you call yourself doing here? You know, I think this is the last day. So why would you ask that question?
Well, you said that you feel that things are going to continually get worse.
Absolutely. Because
in other words, you feel that things are going to get worse before God get ready to finally shut down this world?
Well, no doubt about it, no matter how much time that is. But the thing is when you do things that the Creator told you don't do, you open yourself up to things happening wrong. If you do not take care of your car, it will mess up on you.
So you feel that abortion, because
you legalized it, yes, you legalized the murder. That is against God. That blood has to be avenged. God will sense. Now, he's not doing it. He told you this. I made the earth a certain way. When you do this, that, and other, the land will throw you out of it itself.
But,
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Why are you so controversial?
I'm not controversial. I'm controversial when stupidness comes in. When people, when the shooting happened, I heard everybody said stupidness like, oh, those 20 kids are in a better place. Right. That's what I heard. I didn't hear nobody say, we got to find a solution. I heard God has done it in a mysterious way. I heard everything that was possible in God.
What is the solution? Stanley, you said... You said that you're hoping that what you would do different. First of all, you're talking about a godless society. You're talking about a society that does not have any morals.
You don't listen.
Let me say what I'm saying. You're talking about a godless culture that doesn't have any regard for God. You're talking about a culture that doesn't value morals. And
rewind that. What makes you think that God has to do with morals? First of all,
what do you think the idea of morality comes from?
No, it doesn't. There's many countries who don't believe in God and still are moral countries. What are you talking about?
Okay, let me finish my statement. What would a society be without a moral gauge, a moral compass, and the ability to protect themselves?
Well,
what would happen?
That we would basically be together and deciding the law that we need to do. There's
that is ridiculous. That is you talk so much that you're illogical. You believe you're
the question. I'm answering to you.
You're illogical.
I'm answering your question. Let me answer it. We would be a society that would be as human beings all together and finding the laws that we need to do to protect our own.
So how do we protect?
Let me answer that. We would have found the law to murder is not good.
You find laws that immoral people will adhere to.
What
you're saying?
What are you talking about? I'm saying
that if people don't have a regard for human life, are you suggesting that the laws will give people a regard for human life?
I'm suggesting that what makes you think that we need God to regard human life?
Because that's your moral compass.
No, it's not. It's not my moral compass. It's not.
I know that's
thing you gotta get over as Christian. You think it is, but it's not. It's not for a lot of people.
Oh, okay, let's just say. So, how do you determine, Stanley? How do you determine what's right and what's wrong? How do you determine what's true and what's false?
Well, I determine what's right is what's wrong by the action that I do and the pain that I inflict on another person. The way I see it the way that I do things, I know that if I take my hand and hit you, I'm doing wrong. I'm hitting.
Well, how do you know that, Stanley?
Because I do.
Well, how?
I got to do say because I have evolution about morality of what it is. I know.
Okay, so what if I don't believe that? What if I don't believe that? What if I believe that it's right to strap a bomb to myself and blow up children?
If you believe that it's right to strap a bomb to ourselves, you know what we do with those people? We put you in prison.
Why?
Because as a society, we decided all together that strapping bomb and going to somebody and blowing yourself up is wrong.
But who cares? Who cares what we decided? Because morality is not decided by the masses. So why do we put people in jail who kill people who...
It's the same thing as God. We as society decided to take out slavery. It wasn't God who did that. We did. That's another thing you don't look at. You always ask that question, but you never answer the question with slavery, which is accepted in the Bible, which is the thing that's proclaimed in the Bible. How can we change it? We did. It wasn't God who did it. We did.
Well, it biblically, in fact, in the New Testament, Paul, he uses the word bond slave, which is the idea of a free person actually making themselves a slave. Now, slave to what? Or who?
Yeah, but
it's
okay, but are you denying that the Bible said slavery is okay? Do you want to go there?
I studied the languages. I know what the words mean. I understand the context.
Yes,
I won't allow you to take.
You're a hypocrite because you know that the Bible.
Wow.
That's one thing that every.
Stanley, you're an ignorant person, and you don't know that you're ignorant.
I could quote you all this stuff, and you know what I'm going to quote. I'm not an ignorant person.
You are. You think you know, but you don't know.
So, my line open.
The Bible tells the truth.
Yeah, you're open. Yeah.
Hey, this is 269. Hey, Stan. One of the things, man, and I know you know this, man. I don't know why you insist on arguing with faith-based concepts. I mean, I just it boggles me, man, that you continue to argue with them. The issue that the issue
because he believes that he is his own God and he's his own guide and everybody should believe what he believes. That's what he believes.
You have a problem, Stanley. But the issue of everybody having an opinion of how that what they believe causes a person to act out the way this guy did, right? When the Christians say, "Oh well, we got a sinful nature," well, there's buku religions and philosophies and theories that debunk that or say something different. Now, and then including you, I guess, Stanley. So, if they believe that, man, what is it that you're trying to get them to do?
Because I have a problem.
Okay, first of all, you shouldn't have a problem with anybody's belief. That's the first thing. That is your problem, having a problem with somebody else's belief. We're not talking about whether or not they're factual.
Don't believe me too. Let me tell you why I have a problem.
Okay.
When the 20 kids got killed, the first thing I heard from people was, those 20 kids are in a better situation than now.
Who cares, Stanley?
Yeah, if they want to say they're in Jupiter, if they want to say that they're in Jupiter, it doesn't make them in Jupiter, nor does anybody know that they're in Jupiter. And you know that, so why do you have a problem?
They're going to believe that. I'm sorry. If nobody tells them that, because what you're
advocating is controlling people's belief systems.
There you go. That's what it is. Yeah.
You want to control other people's belief systems.
And you can't
and when people listen, and when people believe different than you believe, you think that you're God.
You think that you're God, you're right.
You think that you're gauged for right and wrong, and you want everybody to believe what you believe.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous.
And you can't do that, Stanley. And one of the things, if you study
thing about that is so frustrating, hopeless and helpless.
You know, there's another aspect of this we haven't even looked at. I mean, this guy that did this thing was obviously a nut job. But why? If you walk into my home, every firearm in the house is in the safe.
Right.
And my children, my adult children, don't have the combination to my safe. Why did this lady allow her mentally disturbed son to either he had access to the safe or she kept these firearms out where he could get his hands on them? That doesn't even make sense, because everybody knew this guy was a nut job.
She taught him how to shoot.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with teaching him how to shoot.
I do.
But you lock the firearms up and put them away.
Well, it doesn't matter, because he can get a firearm from someplace else. He had a mental disability and should not have been allowed to shoot a gun, much to have one or anything.
But, Jeff, you don't have to teach somebody to shoot.
You hand any kid
a Ruger 10/22, any 10-year-old kid, within 5 seconds, he's plinking.
I agree. My thing is this. I agree with you there that I don't understand why she didn't consider, maybe because she's his mother and was around him so much, but she was getting ready to send him away to college, and he might have zoned out, winged out on that.
It could have.
Yeah, because he killed her first and then went to school.
Well, not only that, he shot her in the face. And you got to have issues to shoot somebody
in the face. That is insult of insults. And so, this is really crazy.
And he was a heavy, heavy gamer.
What do you mean?
He played violent video games.
Okay. I understand that. That's one thing that if you want to get something outlawed, then we can talk about access to the violent video games by our kids from 18 on down, or at least up to 16.
That's right. I've heard general after general and military psychiatrists and psychologists, one right after another, verifying the fact this is the same technology that the United States Army and the Marine Corps uses to desensitize human beings to shoot one another, because it's not normal for one human being to shoot another human being. And if you go back through the history of it, you know, in the Civil War, only about 20% of the soldiers would actually aim at another man and shoot him.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, Mr. You finally you show up.
Yeah. I was going to. Now, I actually agree that, you know, there has to be the possibility of doing some outlawing would be a good way of trying to curb it. But I would just make the I will play the devil's advocate with you guys who are for freedom. What if then you get the argument, hey, man, I should be free to let my kids look at, if I want my kids to look at 18-year-old shoot 'em up and play shoot 'em up video games? It's America.
I agree.
I know we just said outlaw it, but, you know, I got to agree. I mean, that's what it is. What you teach your children is what you teach your children.
So you got that dilemma.
I don't like it.
You got that constant contradiction. There's a constant contradiction.
No, I'm not contradicting.
There are always consequences to the choices that we make, and I think what we've lost the ability to see is every choice that we make as individuals, as a country, has consequences. Now we can control our decisions, but we cannot control the consequences. So when we get what we get because of our choices, we think that the consequences are unfair. But the problem is, we don't get to choose the consequences.
That is true, and the thing is, when I get back to all this other stuff, outlawing a gun is not going to stop guns from being there, especially in the hands of the people that want to do something wrong in the first place.
Right.
Well, but what you ought to add to that, though, Jeff, now, and I'm sure you would agree with this, when you're talking about changing a culture, you do attack it for assess it from all of the available means of trying to change it. And one would be, in conjunction with everything else, morals and all of that, one would be trying to limit the amount of guns that would be in the culture. In other words, you all want to do all of them except that one. I shouldn't have said that. But do you agree that if you're talking about attacking some from a cultural perspective, all of the options should be on the table for study?
Well, I guess my question, Michigan, is why didn't we have these problems in the 50s? There were a whole lot of M1A rifles brought home from World War II. And they're all semi-automatic rifles, and they're all .30-06 caliber. And we didn't have this problem. We never had this problem up until we started devaluing life after Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, well, see, but see what I'm saying, Dick. Because you believe in letting everybody keep the guns, you want to take that one off the table. All of your analysis will be void of having that on the table. So, you're going to make the argument that that one doesn't need to be on the table. But you don't. A culture doesn't run like that, Dick. Give me a reason why it should be on the table. Huh?
Hold on, Salvia. You're gonna be next.
I will give you one direct cause why it should be on the table, because the actual thing he used was a gun.
So he used a baseball bat, we're supposed to say baseball bat's illegal?
Wait a minute. Not saying that if you take all the guns out, it's going to stop it, but you said give me one reason why it should be on the table.
Very good.
Is a direct reason, because he used a gun.
So the guy that walked into the nursery in Scandinavia and hacked those people up with a knife, we should do away with all the knives.
No, I didn't say. Because you're biased, I didn't even say do away. I said, but you do put that on the table for analysis.
You're talking about making a
cultural change.
Okay,
it is on the table for
discussion. Now, once again, then nobody in America should be able to buy fertilizer, a Ryder truck, or kerosene.
Exactly.
We should stop all of that because Timothy McVeigh and an unknown somebody lost their leg in the book. That's all that was left of the cat was a leg with camouflage stuff on, and they don't even know who he was.
See, here's the thing with wanting to take away guns in Kennesaw, Georgia. It is a law that every firearm. That every household in the entire town has a firearm. That's the law. That's the city of the law. They have a violent crime rate 85% less than the national average. So taking guns away is not going to stop violent crime.
Here's the thing that I'm looking at, okay? Back around 1865, 66, 67, as a part of Reconstruction and the compromise that some individuals wanted to do, they wanted to.
You breaking up?
Hold on.
For the, they wanted to strip them of their rights, of the Second Amendment rights. Because they would not be able to defend themselves. And folks fought for that right so they could have their guns to defend themselves from the patty rollers or the Klan or whatever you want to call it back then. And that was that should be one of the reasons why we support it, so people can protect themselves against people that want to break in their houses. I mean, back in the 30s, one of the primary reasons why semi-automatics became available to law enforcement was because the crooks were using semi-automatic weapons, that automatic weapons. I mean, you go back and look in history. You got guys sitting out there shooting 38s at a Thompson's, machine gun.
Yeah. Let me ask you something, Jeff.
And Sticks.
Yeah.
Is gun control in you guys' mind? Is gun control synonymous with outlawing guns?
Gun control
yes.
is the Constitution. It is our right to, we have the right to bear arms, period. The only way you're going to take it away is to have a constitutional, have a constitutional amendment banning it.
So in your mind, South Carolina, gun control is equivalent to banning people from having guns.
No.
That's a yes or no.
No. If you take away the Second Amendment, you might as well go ahead and take away the Fourth Amendment as well.
Okay, I didn't say take away the Second Amendment. I said talking about gun control. Are you saying that's synonymous with
gun control now? We have it. They just choose not to enforce the laws.
So why do you guys, whenever the word gun control comes up, the argument that you all put out is that we're going to take people's guns?
Because that's what they want to do. We have enough gun control already.
Let me interject for a second.
Gun control, when we start talking about gun control or start talking about taking weapons away, there's one specific group that we're talking about, and that's the people who go about obtaining guns legally. And those are usually the good people. Gun control has nothing to do and will do nothing for the criminal elements that can get their hands on any guns that they want to through the black market, period. So what it's doing is victimizing the good people in the country and doing nothing to the criminal elements.
Hey, Stanley in Michigan, I want you to tell me what an assault rifle is.
Well, I don't know why you're asking me. I never said I was in favor
okay.
of gun control anyway. But
okay,
I,
Michigan.
I'm
Sorry,
just,
I misread you.
Yeah, I'm just asking questions because every time you say gun control, I hear you guys say taking away guns. I ask you the question, is that synonymous with that? And I agree with the caller just then. The criminal element is what you want to get at. So, I mean.
I trust the average American, and that's what this boils down to. Do you trust your neighbor or not? I trust my neighbor to handle his firearms. I trust my neighbor to handle his firearms in a proper manner.
Why? Wait, Six, you said you trust the... I don't. Why should I? Because your average person could snap out of nowhere. We had the perfect opportunity with the football guy. That
can the president snap out of nowhere?
Yeah.
Well, he snapped. He did snap. I'm sorry.
I said,
the president launch, can the president launch a nuclear strike on Russia tomorrow?
I don't have that mentality when I snap to take a gun, but some people do. That's another thing that you don't focus on. Some people do. If you piss
but
them
if
off
everybody
enough,
was armed, if he
wanted to shoot you.
But Stanley, the problem with that school shooting was that there wasn't too many guns there. There was one too few, and the one too few was in the hands of the good people. That's the problem with gun control. It always removes the gun from the hand of the good people.
Right.
No, the problem is that kid snapped and everything, and we don't know why it snapped.
Who cares why he snapped? Somebody should have dropped him as soon as he got out of his car with the guns.
Well, Six, mental disease is 4%. There's other people who snap for other reasons.
But I don't care. Stanley, you don't understand. If somebody threatens somebody with a gun, they deserve to be dropped on the spot.
So now we're. Did you see this thing? So everybody. So if
yes,
somebody.
Yes, everybody should be armed.
Somebody, we're going to kill people? It gives
yes.
You
yeah.
Somebody,
yeah.
Yes. You point a gun somebody's head, you deserve
society.
To be dropped.
I love your society. So everybody gets a gun, and if you threaten me a little bit, I kill you. It's going to
no,
take a
give
me
the statistic
wow.
Again of Kennesaw,
well,
Georgia.
That's
Kennesaw,
what happens
Georgia.
When you don't have a moral gauge, when everybody does what is right in their
that's
own hearts. That's what you get, and that's why everything goes back to morality.
Right.
And
right.
when people are moved by their feelings at the moment, as opposed to a higher moral gauge, then that's what you get. You get people who get upset. Our prisons are full of decent people who just made a bad decision.
From emotional outburst.
My father went to a one-room schoolhouse in Wisconsin. There was a rifle rack in the back of the schoolhouse. Every boy carried a gun to school every day.
We
got to
go.
Nobody got shot.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you?
Hello?
Hey,
hello.
Let me do something really quick. Stanley, I'm going to do something that really puts a bad taste in my mouth, but I'm going to defend you for a second. And you're right. If you have a neighbor, okay, who has a gun and he's like what Styx was saying, with a good citizen, you know, people do snap. You're absolutely right there. Here's the difference with having more people armed than not is the fact that if one of those people snap, there's always going to be that thing in the back of their head that says, you know what, my other three or four neighbors are armed too, and the chances of me doing anything with my gun are pretty nil because I'll probably be dropped before I do it.
But during that time, they don't care when they snap. They don't think about that. When they snap, then a lot of psychologists say they do a blackout, and they just don't know what happens. And that's a fact.
Oh, you're right.
So there is those
chances.
So they'll take their chance. They'll kill you. They'll kill anybody there. I do not agree that everybody should have a gun. I do not agree that everybody should have a seminar. I do not agree with their mentality that if I feel bad about you, let me go get a gun. We need to change that.
So, but how do you determine that without a moral compass?
Yeah.
So do you interview people and say, you know what, I think you should have one, but you can't have one?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think the argument should not it's not going to be solved by starting with getting guns off the street. I do agree that it's got to start with the like you said, the mental illness, the free market, the free marketplace that promotes violence and the shooting. And I think it's got
to
start there. Taking the guns off the streets is not going
to.
That's not going to do. I think that's the weak way out is to start there with gun control. Yeah.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Now you would agree that in any society you have, in order to have order in that society, you gotta have a set of rules to go by, right?
Yes, yes.
And if you've got individuals that don't go by those rules, there has to be a system set up so they can be
The consequences.
Yes.
To not obeying the rules.
Yes.
Right. So you got certain individuals out there that don't need guns because they do bad things like felons and so on and so forth. So.
Well, that's the sticky. Now, but the reason that one will probably be sticky is because, you know, okay, like that, you can't get into certain fraternities and, you know, things of that nature if you've got a felon. It depends on what the felon is and things of that nature, because I'm going to tell you something now. If you start going that route, well, you probably finna take guns out of a good majority of black men's hands by saying if you got a felony, you can't carry a firearm. So I would not agree with that one. Absolutely not.
And by the way, when you said that some people are not going to obey the law, the thing that you don't obey the law, you go to prison. And I'm sorry, taking out your freedom and putting you in a cage is a consequence. And some people like it, and some people are disturbed just because of that. Not everybody's going to be disturbed, but trust me, the majority of people don't want to be in prison, don't want to be in a cage. I don't.
But,
yeah,
but you know what it is, South Carolina. It's a culture. It's an inherent cultural contradiction. That's what it is. And that's why it's difficult to solve, because on the one hand, we all spend big money to go out to the movies and watch the shoot 'em up movies. We love that, man. We love that. It's freedom of speech, so if somebody has an idea to create some video games where it's allowed to shoot up and gore and chopping off it, we love it. You see? That's a culture. And from loving that, you know, the spirit creeps in of the devaluing of life, just abortion as well, right? As a culture. It's a woman's right to have one or whatever, see? That's another part of it. So it's an inherent cultural contradiction.
Right, and that's why I said earlier, we can choose. We have a freedom of choice, and we can choose what we desire, but we cannot choose the consequences. And a lot of what we're seeing is the consequences. We were adamant about, you know, our rights to do this, and our rights have usurped really the rights of God, and now we're dealing with the consequences. But the problem is we don't get to choose the consequences.
I disagree that when the people say video games are responsible for killing guns, I'm sorry, there's many people who play video games who will never think of taking a gun and killing somebody.
Yeah,
I play video
games, who, nobody
I
said
that.
No, see, that's why. See, when you're studying something from a scientific perspective, Stanley, a good scientist knows you don't pick one thing and say this to
reason. No.
So you just made the statement.
There's been study on that, Matt, too. And video games does not afflict you to go to the point of being. You may be more aggressive, but you're not going to. There have been studies about that.
But here's what you don't know. Here's what you don't know. You can never know that a person who has watched a video game at some point, when in his dealing with any type of situation where he thinks that, not even think twice to use a gun, just like he saw in that video game. You can never know that. How can you ever know that, Stan?
But if you're going scientifically, it's not causality. Doesn't has nothing to do with video games at all.
The what?
But what he's saying though is you don't know that. You don't know the impact that some of these games have on people. You don't know.
How can you prove that you know the impact that has? That's like saying I can prove the impact that music has on you.
And so there's some things that we would just say, you know what, I don't know. That's a good point. I don't know. And that's okay.
Right.
But you
call it what it
all.
Is. That's a good place to start. Say, hey, man, this may be a cultural contradiction. At least if we start there, man, that's a place of honesty, I think.
Yeah, I mean, because we don't have all the answers.
Right.
No, I know we don't have the answer, and I agree with you, but as a society, when people are saying we need a God and we need this, if it wasn't for God, I'm like saying,
well,
no,
what,
it's not true.
My point
what's
is,
wrong
whether,
with them using that approach, Stanley, if that's what they believe?
Yes,
you say what you believe.
Like a lot of people said, let's bring back the praying. It's bigger than this, my two. It's bigger than just what I'm talking about. A lot of people are pushing what they believe. And whatever you believe, you're going to push it.
But, yeah, that's what you're doing.
You're
doing that. Is that okay for you to do it and others not?
I'm not pushing anything at all.
You are. Stanley, you are. You're not being honest with yourself. You are pushing something.
I'm not pushing it. I'm pushing the only thing I'm pushing is go find the information by your own. Don't
right, but listen, don't you realize that more people than you have looked at resources, the same resources that you have looked at and have come to a different conclusion? I've looked at science, and you know I'm an intelligent person. I've got education, and I believe through all of the education.
We're bringing you all back in now, so your mics are live, and we're on the air.
All right.
What are you talking about that you've looked at? What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is over the years. Intelligent people, we come to conclusions based on the same information. Now, what we could agree on is if we are in if we disagree on the same issue, both of us cannot be right.
Of course.
So your assessment is if people should be looking for the truth. When you say that, there's a presupposition that you have it.
No, there's no presupposition.
Okay, so if you don't have a corner on the market of truth, perhaps someone else has that truth, and it would behoove us to talk less and listen more and determine what is really true, because truth transcends all times, it transcends all cultures, it transcends all generations.
But as a person, I bring you fact and you contradict it, and a lot of people are bringing you fact, you contradict because of your belief, because you don't want to listen. Whose fault is that? Is it my fault or your fault?
Well, just because, again, you think that something is a contradiction, it's because of a lack of understanding.
Stanley, there you go. You jump right across him before he can answer the question.
Go ahead.
You cut right across him. He was answering your question,
go ahead. Cut him off.
I'm saying that if you don't fully understand something, then certainly it would appear to be a contradiction. But if you spend the time listening, then perhaps what you perceive as a contradiction may not be a contradiction. It may just be a misunderstanding. But if you don't listen, then you can't learn, and you stay where you are.
Well, but you know, one of the things I would say just from hearing the brother's last statement, gentleman's last statement, about truth transcends all cultures and races and stuff like that, even that's a relative term from this perspective. If you even look at the concept of truth, right, the history of it, right, and you say, oh, man, I don't want to hear all no history of it. But do you got to, because it's a concept. All right. It was used as a mathematical term, meaning when as a measurement, when they say this cut is true and exact. So over time, the concept has changed to beliefs and ideologies being true as being matters of fact. So I don't think that you enter into a discussion with somebody saying you have the truth. No, what you have is information.
Well, see, this is the thing, though, especially when it goes back to some of the things.
You disagree with that, don't you,
Jeff?
No, I
don't.
I disagree also. I disagree. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say I don't necessarily disagree with what he said in the way he said it. The thing is I have what I believe, and
right.
My belief is based upon my study of biblical studies over the past 35-something years. I'm not in this thing just because, you know, I joined the church on the corner and decided that I was going to, you know, join that church and I was going to be a nice, upstanding citizen. I joined this because I had an encounter with Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in him. I know that all churches don't really have a full revelation of who God is.
But then you see, you just said something that I could just question you. What makes you think that that encounter was with Jesus Christ or your God? Yeah. I could question you, but just
what
on
do you
that.
Mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What I think it was.
With me, Jeff, before we go too far, can you have him? He said he disagreed with what I said when I said, when you say you have truth, you have information.
Right. And the reason why I disagree is because if I say that the earth is flat, and I believe that for centuries, and I count that as true, and later it's determined that the earth is spherical. Now, what I'm saying that both of those are not true. Both of those are not true. Even though I held one belief system, I believe that the earth was flat based on the information, then even though I believe that information does not mean that it was true.
Okay, so now watch this. Now watch what you're saying. So are you saying that truth somehow should be attached to some type of formula, a scientific formula or mathematical formula or some sensed ability? Because if you're talking about the world being flat, now you're talking about what we can sense or what we can measure as the earth. So now if you're talking about that, I would agree. Let's go that route.
Well, there's... I'll put it this way.
You used a bad example.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, my point is truth is not changing from generation to generation.
Okay, you either give an example.
Either it's true or it's not true.
But you have to put that in context. What do you mean?
What I'm saying is, if I believe or if I was taught that the earth was flat as truth, and then later we find that the earth is not flat, I'm saying that that first body of information that I was taught was not true.
Based off what?
Information.
Okay, so that you're talking about sensed information. So from sensed information, we should be able to come to the same conclusion about something being true. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now how do we come to the same information, sensed information, that your God is true?
Well, I believe if he is true, then he'll reveal that truth to those who want to know the truth.
But what's the sensed information that you use to determine that that was true?
What's your sense? Is it your personal experience? Because you can't go to your personal experience because
anybody can
see anything.
That's subjective. I believe that his word. I believe that I'm not talking about subjective truth. I'm talking about objective truth.
Objective?
Objective.
Objective?
Objective truth.
I don't. There's objective. There's two. How do you spell objective truth?
What I'm saying is
I thought that was objective truth.
No, what I'm saying is truth is not determined by experience alone.
But if we take the case of Jeff, it is, because Jeff just
Jeff is not saying
I had a personal experience with
Stanley. Stanley.
Listen, you can have a subjective experience that confirms the objective.
Thank you.
If Chuck said that he had a personal experience with Jesus, should I just believe it because he...
Stanley, look, listen. Nobody can explain me better than me, okay? Now, this is the point here, Stanley.
Nobody can explain it better than
you. Listen. Just listen. I had the experience, Stanley, that put me on a road of study. I didn't have to study and found out later that it was true. I was studying something that had nothing to do with Jesus when I found him.
Okay,
and when I had the situation with him. But I understand how it ties into him, but it didn't have really nothing really to do with him directly and what he had done. I didn't know about, I knew about that, but I didn't really believe that story. But when I had an encounter, a spiritual encounter with Jesus Christ, after I accepted him, you have to understand, exactly, I'm testifying. You have to understand that I went on study to understand what I experienced. I had to find out why I did and did the, and I found it out. But the thing is you have to, there's something here. You can't just deny something because you can't see it or feel it. And you can't deny something because somebody told you a falseness or a fantasy about God or about even Christians. Because
okay.
Just because Hitler called himself a Christian, just because President Obama calls himself a Christian, doesn't make him one.
Whoa.
The Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them.
If we're taking the same Bible, a lot of people would say what you're saying is against the Bible. A lot of things would say
well,
that.
Well, no, who would say that?
I haven't heard Jeff say a single thing that's against scripture. I am an evangelical non-denomenational.
What
you obviously don't understand, Stanley, what you don't understand about Protestants and non-denominational Christians is we stand together on the substance and we differ on the style. Jeff and I go to very different churches, but on the substance, we agree 1,000,000,000%.
I would still count that.
But it's the style that's
the
difference.
Trust me, think there are some people who doesn't. Trust me. You think you do, but you don't. Trust
well,
me.
Every Christian believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God.
I have yet to meet a single Christian that does not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God, that he wasn't crucified and raised 3 days later.
Some people don't even believe that Jesus was the Son of the living God.
Then they're not Christians.
Well, they're still Christian and they don't believe.
No, they are not.
No, listen.
Stanley, that's crazy. Michigan, hold on.
That's like me saying that, you know what, I don't feel black. Yeah, I don't feel African American. In fact, I choose not to be African American. But it doesn't change my DNA. I am African American. So regardless of whether I deny it or not, I am what I am.
You know what Stanley has a hard time doing? The humans created beliefs and things of that nature to try to give them balance and help them, you know, understand this process. Now, anybody that tells you they have a lock on understanding or knowing the process is lying. But now that's a different subject matter. But if, in fact, humans did that to help them, give them a moral compass or guide them through life and make them have good social relationships, then it's worth it.
Okay.
So
leave
it alone, Stanley.
I agree with you. But don't make it a fact because they're making it a fact.
Stanley, they cannot make it a fact, even if they say it out of their mouth. This is what I understand.
They're making it a fact, Matthew. They always say a fact.
But I know it ain't. I don't argue with them like with Jeff. Jeff always saying the word of God is the truth.
There you go.
Now,
so
I know it ain't, but I'm not going to try to change him from believing it ain't.
Stanley,
it's not a
Stanley,
fact.
Can you and I agree that the six commandments that deal with man's interrelationship with man are fact and true?
Fine, I'll give you that one. Go ahead.
What'd you say, Sticks?
That the six commandments that deal with man's relationship with other men are factual and true and are the basis of all good law.
Now, I would say the 48 negative confessions, that's where the six commandments come from. But here's where you have to go with that.
Okay, we boiled 48 down to six.
Yeah.
I don't know what the 48 things are.
You're going to have different cultures that call them different things.
Right.
But here's what you won't get Christians to do, but they should do, and that's this. Acknowledge that what you are talking about, you cannot prove as fact, as
exactly.
universal fact, but you can only prove it as fact to you.
No, I disagree there. That's where
Okay, let me give you an example.
We don't have the time on the air, but I totally disagree. So
let me give you one quick example. Very quick.
Take your time, y'all, because we're not on terrestrial right now. We have a problem. Yeah, we're fine. We're on the internet. We got tons of listeners.
So is the brother who just said that, is the Bible, did you call the Bible, is that the word of God?
It makes its claim to be the word of God. So the onus is on us to prove that it's not. If it makes that claim.
He running.
There you go,
running.
Stanley.
He running.
No, no, no.
Running.
I'm not running.
Okay.
I'm not running. If
okay,
it claims, it makes the claim.
Is the Bible the truth?
Absolutely.
Okay. The truth. Now, explain or give the definition of truth that you say it is.
Now, that's a broad question. What do you mean?
When you say it's the truth, what does that mean?
Is the Bible the word of God, like he said?
Yeah. Okay, now, can I answer that?
Go ahead.
Okay, now, this is where I'm at with it. I absolutely believe that the Bible is the word of God, and I believe that God, by inspiration, gave many different writers over thousands of years, a few thousand years, inspiration to write this book. It does not contradict itself in any place, as people claim, and this, that, and other. Even with the books that aren't there, which I believe in, that the book of Enoch,
okay,
and
Now, Jeff, let me stop you. I didn't ask you if you believed the Bible was the word of God. That's not what I asked you.
I'm not finished explaining. If you can't listen to my explanation, because you can't give it a yes or no answer.
No, but I did not ask you what you believe.
I must tell you what I believe, and then I'll tell you why I believe it, which will be based in the fact that I'm getting ready to tell you. My father was a lawyer. He taught me how to set up a answer to a question when you're trying to do closing arguments or opening arguments. Okay, so now, that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you
okay.
that there are books that the Catholic Church did away with that I believe should absolutely still be in the Bible. And as a result, we have not the full total historical revelation of what went on, and because of it, we're missing some things. But other than those things, everything in that Bible, and I, without exception, not one thing contradicts itself.
Your disagreement is because of,
right.
of misunderstanding.
No,
just because you don't understand it does not mean that it's not true.
He made a statement that said there's nothing that contradicts the thing. That
absolutely.
Let
him
finish.
I sure wasn't finished. Stanley, you got ants in your pants or something. Listen, once again, I understand that there are people that have questions and question things. But the thing is when you go from a purely a religious one source of dealing with something, number two, when you go with a purely English source of dealing with something, you cannot describe an Eastern thought in Western language. It doesn't work, and that's where you're finding your problems at. I don't have a problem with it. I went and studied those things out to make sure I exegeted and understand. I can lay line upon line, and so when you come with a question, Stanley, you ask me about God not being there, and I tried to tell you God gave us the earth. We're responsible. And when we mess up, it's our fault, not his. He doesn't intervene in all things.
That's why we have a book of Revelations.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now answer my question, Jeff. I said, is the Bible the truth?
Yes.
Now give definition to that truth you just said that it is.
Unequivocally.
Right.
Unequivocally proven, unequivocally tested and tried.
Let me agree with you then. If you're saying the Bible is truth and then you're defining truth as being the word of God for you, then that is true.
You can say it for me too, but I say it's for everybody. They just don't know it.
How could it be for everybody, Jeff?
Because
you know how many gods there are?
No,
you know how many gods there
are? I don't know how many.
There's only one ultimate God, one creator. There are many small g gods. In the,
right. I was
but
just
there's
say that.
Only one true God.
God's
but,
a concept,
but
brother.
There's only one true
God.
Well, to you, now,
right.
now, Michigan man, that is your thought.
Okay,
my God, my God
that's
is not a
thought.
Listen. Let me throw this at you. My God is not a Xenophanes. I didn't create him. He created me. There's a big difference. You have to understand. I'm not into the ancient Kemet and all of this BS that people have studied. Can I finish? And they go back to these demonic scriptures. They go back to the demonic to study because those things are powers and principalities that don't hold truth. I know where they got their information from.
Please, you don't want to go down that road of argument, but I don't even want to take you there because I already know you. They're sinking sand what you're talking about.
Brother.
I said God is a concept that comes out of men's minds that try to give definition to who or what created everything. That's not universal? Now, what's wrong with that?
So where does that come from though? What is that God consciousness? Where does that come from?
This is the definition that men have given it. God is a concept that comes out of the minds of men that try to give definition to things they don't understand or the unknown
so
and
saying,
all that stuff. Would
so
you
you're
agree
saying
with that?
Universally. Universally, mankind has come up without communicating with one another. They have come up with a concept of why and how we exist.
Bingo.
And that just happened evolution?
I'm not even going into that argument about who's going to be right now, how it all started. I just wanted you to, are you acknowledging that is exactly what happened? He watches nature and he tries to come up with the God concept of trying
because
to give definition to himself, the earth, and creation.
If that were true, let's just play the devil's. Let's say that's true.
Okay.
How do we explain the Bible? How do we explain the prophecies that have been factual and literally fulfilled?
Stanley, be quiet and you'll get to answer your question.
Okay, that's easy, bro. Now, see, this is where history comes in at. I'm gonna, the key words you just said. How do we explain the Bible? Well, the first thing to do to explain the Bible, that's a written book. If it's a written book, that means somebody wrote it. That means we can go to history and see who wrote it. And then we can get context. Now, you said the prophecy. That's also a concept, man, saying God showing me the you can laugh. God
Damn.
Has shown me what's going to happen in the future. Ain't that what a prophecy is? A man saying God has shown me some things that are going to happen in the future. Is that
mm-hmm.
not what the core definition of prophecy is?
Pretty much.
Not just things that are going to happen in the future, because a prophet was a mouthpiece for God. So not only did they talk about things that was going to happen in the future, they talked about current events, which made it very easy to determine whether or not someone was a true prophet or a false prophet.
Okay.
Because if what was said was going to happen did not happen, they were automatically identified as a false prophet, and there were consequences to saying that God said and it didn't happen.
Okay. So when you go back and do your study of these people we're calling prophets, how far have you gone back to when you started studying about prophets?
I don't know, to be honest.
Okay.
What do you mean, how far did I go
back? What I was going to say is, in other words, if you have a list of approved prophets or disapproved prophets, I'd like to see that list and just to see what context in which you the historical context.
We're looking at biblical prophets.
I know
prophets.
Where you're getting that from, brother.
Michigan man, we're looking
right,
at biblical
the scriptures.
About 3,000 years at the most.
Yeah,
3,000 years at the most.
Yeah, understand something,
right,
Michigan
Jim?
Man.
Right, Jim?
3,000 is fine. That's
okay.
That's a good number.
Right.
But here's my point. It doesn't matter whether it's only 3,000 years or not. There was a 500-year period God didn't even speak. Period. Okay.
Here we go.
See how silly that sounds, Jim.
Well, you
who told you that?
We can't win.
Who told you that?
Can I finish? Can I finish?
Can I say something else?
God tells you that in his word and tells you why he didn't speak for that time.
Oh, your God. Your God. I forgot. Okay.
That's right. My God.
Your God.
Okay?
That's right.
Now,
okay.
Now here once again, you have to understand something. For us, the revelation is one thing. The fall of man and the redemption of man through the Lord Jesus Christ. We agree with the Jews to a certain degree because they don't believe the Messiah has come. We believe that he came first to seek and save that which was lost. They do not, although they revere Jesus as a prophet, as do the Muslims. They revere Jesus as a prophet. But that's it. They don't agree. They don't do with him either thing, any other way. When he's told them that the temples were going to be destroyed in about in X amount of times, 30 years later, the temples were destroyed, just like he said they would be. So the point is this: Jesus was one of the absolute prophets. If you don't believe in him as the Son of God, look at what he said was going to happen. Look at how he said things were going to come together. How in Revelation, how in the living world can
no,
you
no,
not?
No problem, Jeff. No problem. No problem.
I'm done. But you got
problem, Jeff. No problem.
But no. You have to understand. No, there is a problem. Because I'm not done.
I was just going to say this, Jeff. If you have this definition of what determines a prophet or not a prophet, I would just ask you to do a little bit more study on human history before 3,000 years, because you may find out, Jeff, there may be some prophets before then that said some stuff.
I understand.
Is it possible?
Absolutely.
Yeah, oh, okay.
No,
so
nobody
why
denies
have
that.
You studied them?
I have.
Also, I would suggest also that
you have,
the other side.
Yes,
no,
sir.
I want to do a comment because everybody's doing a comment. That you said the other side also, Jeff, that would question what you're saying. That has good questions that I'm sure as a Christian, you
Stanley,
don't have that question. You believe
Stanley,
what you believe on your belief.
Stanley.
You don't open your heart and your mind saying, am I right or wrong? Am I really
Stanley, you are incorrect, Stanley.
No, you're not. I'm not incorrect because
yeah,
I
well, listen, Stanley.
You tell me God did it. Or did it.
Stanley, I don't tell you that, and you're lying, first of all. That's a lie. That's not even just not telling the truth. You don't listen. You want to talk all the time, and you want to roll over somebody because you think that you're going to prove them wrong. And you
no,
don't have
I
nothing
don't to
prove.
Somebody, I want
to
prove them
see,
wrong.
Here we go. You don't have nothing to prove them wrong with. You don't
yes,
have no
do.
Truth in yourself.
Yes, they do. What,
my point is this,
yes.
Stan.
I don't have the truth as much as you do. What makes you think
no,
that?
I didn't say that, you know. No,
no
that has nothing to do with it. I'm not measuring, Stanley. Stanley,
said
I'm not.
You on something that you said,
Stanley,
oh
I said you have no truth in yourself.
How do
you
know
don't
that?
Have anything to.
How
because
you know
I listen
that?
To. Because I listen to your talk.
How, Jeff?
I listen to you talk, Stanley.
Here's the truth. Both of you got information that y'all both saying is the truth.
Right. So how do you
and agree
that
on that?
That goes back
agree
to
on
my
that.
Question. How do you determine if we all have a different body of information,
yeah.
How do we determine what's truth?
Well, that's why I say, remember now what I said earlier. The concept of truth, it just recently got moved into or evolved into this concept that is dealing with information. This is new. The concept of truth being moved into meaning having something to do with correct or incorrect information. That's
yeah,
why
I disagree. I totally disagree.
Okay, but well, I just historically showed you that the concept of truth was a mathematical term.
Well, you
now
said
you're saying,
that.
Huh?
You said that. I disagree with the
you
information.
You disagree with that?
Because I don't believe
no,
the information
you disagree
is
with
correct.
That. You disagree with the concept of truth? Okay, we can study the concept of truth from a historical perspective. Would you disagree or agree with that?
But from whose perspective, historically?
Okay, before we even get into whose perspective, I say, would you agree with that?
Well, certainly we could agree, historically we could agree the definition of truth, but if you're assuming that at the origin of truth, there was basically, that's the truth that I'm concerned about.
No, I
didn't. I said, could we agree that we could study the concept of truth from a historical perspective? I didn't say from whose. I just said, could we agree that we could study
it? Well, certainly. We could study it, but the source of the information, it's almost like listening to two people argue. We're both believing that we're true, but it's from our perspective.
But that's why I say you keep trying to put information in the context of truth.
Yeah.
How can you not?
Just study history. You don't.
Yeah.
Why do
okay.
you need to put history in the context of truth or false history?
Okay.
Just study
okay.
history.
Here's
because
the thing.
There's some history that's been improperly interpreted.
Well,
on purpose in many cases.
Absolutely. So we can't just because we look at historical accounts. We've got to look at who, where
going.
From that perspective, who actually said what and why
going,
did they say what they said?
I agree with you. When they said it, right?
Absolutely.
What
exactly.
Context. What culture they came out of when they said it? Don't you think all that would be good information?
Absolutely.
Oh, brother, well, we on the same page then.
But since you have all those questions, how come you don't question all those questions when you read the Bible? You don't have those questions.
Well, first of all, Stanley, you don't know me. And then secondly, I do ask those questions.
Okay, and if you did have those questions, didn't you see there is a difference between Mark, Luke, John? The gospel.
Again, that's because of your Stanley. That's because of your listen. You don't listen. That's because of your ignorance. I've studied.
When I tell you there's four different books that
say
the four different stories.
Right.
Okay.
Right. There are four different. You don't listen.
I'm not being truthful with that. Or is that a lie?
Shut up, Stanley, and listen.
You don't listen.
He doesn't listen at all. He keeps talking. You try to ask his question. He talk right over you, through you, whatever. He don't want to know the answer. He wants to talk.
Right.
Stanley, we're getting ready to mute you so the man can answer the question. Are you want to be muted, or are you going to be nice and listen?
First of all, the Gospels are not written as a historical account.
No.
To basically say the same thing. In fact, that would be totally hypocritical, and it would. In fact, if the Bible was written to be a historical record, then they would have basically copied the same information. The fact that the accounts are different should let you know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're telling historical accounts from a different perspective. And John, listen. I know I don't have a problem with that. It's almost like me and Jeff standing at the corner, looking at one event.
Okay.
Now, if a reporter went to Jeff, he would give his account of that incident.
Yeah.
The reporter would come to me and say, well, what happened? And I would give, in my own words, an account of what I saw. What's wrong with that?
Okay, but that doesn't make sense. Okay, let's take your example.
Let's stick with that example.
Yep.
Let's stick with just that example. Let's take the what happened on Friday. That would be like four different journalists saying one says 21 kids got
absolutely.
Killed.
Absolutely.
Another said 19 kids got killed. Another said 15 kids got killed. Another said 10 kids got killed. We have a problem.
Okay, you know, and guess what, Stanley? Wait a minute, that's what happened.
Look at this last weekend, Stanley. Look at all the misinformation that was reported this
last
weekend.
Yeah, but let me show you something, though, now. When you're talking about information that can be, that's got to be going back, it can be sensed, meaning we can count the dead, you see, then now then you go with that information. So you're correct. So, I mean, that from that perspective, I think if more people with the Bible use that perspective, I think that then what Stanley is saying, then you would see some of the merit in that. Because, like you said, some person said 10, someone said 90.
Right, but wait, but they,
let's,
but they
go to let's go to the coroner's office and count the bodies.
Right, but
I don't need you to say nothing. Let's go count the bodies.
Right, so what I'm saying is the ones who gave inaccurate information, they were not telling the truth. Even though they believed maybe 15 died, it was not true, even though they believed it.
But that's why when you...
How can I check on the four gospels which one is the truth?
But you're making...
Wait a minute. They are all the truth, Stanley. It has to do with one thing.
Right.
You have to understand that people that wrote the books, who wrote the gospels and why did they write them? In those times, from the Jewish whole experience, you had people called scribes. You had people that followed around and took notes, and they wrote down what happened, what didn't happen, blah, blah, blah. You also have historians, one of who is very dependable because everybody uses him as a reference. And that is the
non-Christian, by the way.
Right, not a Christian. His name was Josephus. So
yeah,
you must.
Who wrote what he said 100 years later?
It doesn't matter. Oh God!
You know what it is. You know what it is. The Christian faith and belief, it has power, and it has power in the sense that
it has
controlled lives or changed lives and whatever. And either Stanley. Well, first of all, he can't argue with that, especially if somebody is telling him that it did that for him. So either Stanley has a problem with someone else having power, or create your own, Stanley, and you spit yours out there.
I don't have a problem with someone else having power. The problem I have is when we look at the four books that doesn't make sense and I bring it to Christians, they say the same thing that you just said.
Okay,
right,
let me ask you this, Stanley. What's your purpose? What's your purpose?
My purpose is for them to come with a good argument and say, oh, you made a point, Stanley. Whoa. That doesn't make sense. When you tell me what the time that Jesus died, the four authors are seeing different times. Tell me the time
What would that do for you?
The four authors are seeing different things.
What would that do for you? What would it do for you?
At all.
What would it do for you knowing that information? What does it do for you?
Well, it questioned me on that information, and I said, let me look at this, and let me go to Christian and say, hey, I've read your book.
No. Don't run, Stanley. What would knowing that information do for you?
It would make me question the Bible on the validity, on the saying that book is the Word of God.
Well, I didn't say what it makes a question. I'm trying to get at what it, in other words,
what it do for you?
It makes me
right. Are you looking to settle something in yourself?
No, I'm trying to find out the truth about this book.
Okay, Stanley.
Because they're making a claim that this is the book of God. This
right.
Book Stanley?
Has no
Stanley?
Contradiction. That's what Jeff said,
Stanley?
And a lot of Christians believe that. As a person who's outside this, your book has contradiction. This and this, the four books are saying different. I want you to explain me how come you can tell me there's no contradiction.
Okay, you know what it is, Jeff? I got it now. You know
what
it is, Stanley?
What?
He has not found any purpose.
I have purpose. I have many purposes in my life.
No, I'm telling you, at the core of that.
Well,
okay,
at the core, let me tell you what I see in Stanley.
Go ahead.
I see a very enthusiastic type person, of course. But this is what it is. Somebody hurt Stanley very badly. And Stanley, hold on, let me finish, Stanley, and you tell me whether I'm wrong. And I know you're going to say I'm wrong, but I know better. But that's okay. I see somebody that was hurt drastically by somebody or maybe some people that call themselves Christians. And so I see him reacting to their beliefs, because he has to make sure, because he couldn't do anything about whatever happened, but he can make sure that they don't get away with saying that these are Christians and they're good and this, that, because they aren't. They did something bad, and I'm going to prove it every chance I get.
Okay, can I answer your question? Can I answer your question? Did I get hurt by Christians? Yeah, I'll give you that.
I don't know whether you got hurt by Christians.
It's obvious.
But it's very clear to me that you've been very wounded.
Questioning, look at your book. And don't forget, I was a Christian all the way to 25 years old. So I'm 35 right now. So questioning your book, to coming to a point that it says, this is the most important decision in my life.
Go ahead. Stanley,
his phone died. Either that, or he's gotten emotional.
No, he hung himself up. His phone hung up because I'm looking at it on the screen.
It's obvious that he's been hurt, and I agree, even with the other caller, in the sense that there are many who call themselves Christians who are not. Jesus says that. He says, in the last day, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Never knew you.
So, I'd love to sit down with a guy like Stanley and just go through the scriptures. And we could go through the gospels. And you find out very clearly that each gospel writer was not trying to say the same thing.
But that's not the therapy, and not, for lack of a better word, the therapy for Stanley would not be a discussion about that book at all. At this point, the therapy that needs to be given to him, I don't think has anything to do with a religious context. Based off what Jeff just said, which I agree with, and based off what I said about him finding purpose for himself.
There
is no purpose in trying to disprove beliefs. There's no purpose.
Michigan, now I'm going to tell you something. If somebody wasn't ever introduced to the Spirit of God, they would not know that about Stanley. I don't care what you say. The only reason why you are on that same page with us is because of you were there. You understand. You were part of it. He ain't left that part of him that was in you out. It's still there. It's just that it just got clouded because your intellect is great.
No. Let me clear that up for you now.
I'm not done. I'm not done, my friend. It
was always there before I was introduced to Christianity. Now that you won't understand.
No, I understand that very clearly.
Okay.
Listen,
gentlemen, I'm going to have to cut out. I've got it.
Okay, Preston.
All right, we'll talk.
Thanks, and we will talk. I'll call you.
All right.
Michigan, I'm not trying to be any kind of way. I just know one thing. Certain things are spiritually discerned, and certain things can be naturally discerned.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
Stanley has no idea what he's saying. He'd been in some kind of situation where somebody just dogged him, and he's trying to deal with that.
Yeah.
And believe you me, the reason why his phone dropped right now is we were getting ready to get at that thing. Because I can see it. I can see it just as plain as I can see the computer screen sitting in front of me, my friend.
You don't argue that hard. He argues extremely hard without having a very deep rooted reason.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely the truth. 330-240 if you want to talk, just hit number one on your pad. That's the thing, and for those our listeners on the air, we're not on the air right now, but there's only things that can be spiritually understood, and so sometimes when I'm arguing, I'm trying to bring them through a point to walk through somewhere.
Right.
I want to walk them through the situation so that we can I want to hear what you're feeling. I really want to hear what you're saying because I understand it. I've been there, done it. Now listen to that, Stanley.
Yes.
What in the world is that noise in the background?
I didn't put anything.
I believe you.
There was something going on back there.
Thank you. That
Sorry.
Was annoying. That's what you call a devil, my friend. That's what you call a devil. almost fixed. I got. Oh my goodness. That is something else. I'm going to have my sister on here tomorrow with me. She's getting ready to leave town. And anybody that wants to call in and ask some things prophetically. Now, she is in we're Pentecostal in nature. We believe in the fivefold ministry, which means we still have prophets in our belief and we see in the thing. My sister is very, very astute. My whole family was pretty astute because in one church we attended, we were always given the ability to prophesy to the church, and without fail, everything that ever came forward came to pass as we said it, and it was accomplished. But the thing is I understand that there's people that don't believe, and that's okay because I understand that there is something that's trying to keep you from believing.
No, nothing's keeping me from
No, not you, Stanley, in particular. I'm talking about people in general. There is a devil that hates people because people got redeemed and they did not get redeemed.
Well, Jeff, now you're gonna fall off a cliff now. I can't fall off a cliff.
But the thing is, I'm telling you where we're at, my friend.
Yeah.
You have a mindset of an evil created being,
wow.
Very powerful to us, you know, because we don't understand what he does to people.
Is that a fact, Jeff, or is it?
Yes, it's an absolute fact.
Where is your proof of that fact?
But see, Stanley. See, Stanley, you.
No, he said it's a fact.
Stanley. Just from listening to you, Stanley, you already know that is not a universal fact. You know that, Stanley.
No, I know it's not.
But okay, but then why won't you leave him alone?
He cannot do it,
Stanley. You have stated many times on this program that you believe that evolution is a fact, but never once.
But the difference
it has never been proven. Macroevolution has never been proven.
Yes, it has. It's been proven.
Where has macroevolution been proven? Where one species in one generation leapt from one species to another species? That is macroevolution.
And the most asinine thought I've ever seen or heard of, because you have nothing in between of anything to prove that.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
No, let him go. Let him go. Tell us, what species in what chicken produced a cow?
Prove that. There's one proof that our biologists have been done. It's been proven scientifically. DNA proves that evolution is true.
No,
okay.
You know. Human DNA and ape DNA are two entirely different things.
Yeah.
No, it's not. If you study it, they show that we
they
have
share,
a
they share DNA. A few traits. And if you think about it, if you are designing an entire planet full of animals, would you not use the basic building blocks and share them?
Six. I'm going to the point that they prove I think a chimpanzee has 34 chromosomes. Remember
that's
that's not enough, Stanley, because you have too many things, bro. That's not enough. There's a lot of things that are similar. You know that we're listen. You know that what's the most similar animal that we're the closest to?
Jeff, I didn't prove my point.
Okay, I'm asking a question though, and then you finish it. When you answer this, you answer and prove your point at the same time. What's the closest animal to humans
answer your question. Let me just prove my point because I read it. I don't know exactly what it is. I can't say. Okay, let me just prove my point. So when they did that test, oh my God, we have a problem. And the chimpanzee has 34. If every wouldn't, because they're supposed to have the same thing.
You're breaking up, Stan. You're breaking up.
Yes. So they wanted to say that they were all one.
Stanley, you're breaking up, dude. You're going to have to fix your phone. You're gonna have to slow down and fix your phone, dude.
Okay.
Yeah,
we can't hear you.
Yeah,
we cannot hear you. We're not being mean. We can't hear you.
Yeah, you're probably on speaker or something, and there's an interrupter on there for when you talk too low or too high.
I'm going to call.
You going to do what? He's going to call him back. Well, anyway.
Can I interject something?
Go ahead.
All right. I've had, and I'm not going to testify today, but I've had the same moment. Not the exact same moment, but a similar moment as you did, Jeff, okay? I had a very big, it was an incredible, the most incredible time of my life.
Absolutely.
I will say that right now, because I am not, there's parts of the Bible that I either disagree with or that I need to research more and really put my heart into what I believe is true. Like, for instance, what we were just talking about, I believe in evolution, not because I can prove it, because what Stanley's trying to prove is literally 5% of the human genome has been decoded. That's it, just 5%. Nobody really knows.
Exactly.
So my thing is, what I believe, and until, and I've had these conversations with God, and he hasn't said I'm wrong or I'm right yet, but my belief is that God had created all things. And, however, he created all things, but through evolution is how these things have come to fruition. So I believe he's responsible for all of this.
And that's a total biblical hypothesis, because you're talking about microevolution versus macroevolution.
Exactly. And you're right.
I believe in microevolution. I mean, you just look at cattle, the cattle that were raised 500 years ago compared to the cattle that are being raised today.
I fully believe in
microevolution.
But God, for me, I'm just saying, like we were talking about truth before, God, for me, has not completely answered that question, but I have that belief. I'm willing to listen to the argument against it and discuss it, but, I can't take a stance, and say, that you're wrong, you don't know your facts, and all that. You have to open your mind a little bit.
But, this is when you study ancient African civilization and the entire concept. Now, this is, there's history behind it. The concept of mythology and how they classified something as mythology. And it was never to prove something right or wrong. That's the key in the ancient African civilizations of studying things. It was never to try to prove something or disprove something. But what they did when they came across something, a process or something that they saw that they couldn't explain, they used mythology to give it definition for that time. They never said what was going to happen to that mythology in the future or nothing like that.
Yeah, hold on, Michigan. Yeah, we know there's a problem with the transmitter.
Okay.
We're on Blog Talk Radio if you want to get in, though.
Okay.
All right, my friend. Go ahead, Michigan, man,
okay.
And then unlifted color, you'll be
and
next.
Since, and then so from looking at it from that perspective, and that's why you would see in some of the Egyptian texts, you see a man with an animal head. In other words, saying, the nature of man is part animal in this. Now, that's a mythological concept, and it's not meant to be proven or disproven. And that's the beauty, I think, of like when the caller just said, when you keep an open mind like that, it allows you to be able to get all of that information and not be biased to any of it. And I think, organized religion has tended to set up these roadblocks in people's rational capacity and thinking capacity to consider other information, and I think that's their loss.
let me tell you this, and you're right. You know, there's certain stories and ways that things should be taken. However, if I have another moment like the one that I spoke of, like when I found Jesus immediately in a time of need, and if God speaks to me again and says that the world's only 10,000 years old, guess what I'm believing.
Well, I have no problem with that. Yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing. There's no way I believe the world is only 10,000 years old either.
Can believe that though, Jeff. See.
But like I said, he can. I don't care about that because I don't think that's pertinent. It doesn't matter except if you're trying to explain to somebody that has a greater understanding of science and discovery. But the thing is that. I am on something totally different, I guess, because I'm taking into account everything that the Bible mentions. When the Bible mentions something and it says it's X, Y, and Z, okay, somebody, you don't believe in dinosaurs because you're a Christian. I said, you're crazy. I said, the oldest book in the Bible clearly describes dinosaurs. It actually describes, yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Genesis is not the oldest book in the Bible.
Yeah, what's the oldest book in the Bible, Stanley?
I don't know, but the way you're talking, it's Genesis, the Bible.
No, it's not. And any Bible scholar will tell you that Job is the oldest book in the Bible.
Job is the oldest book that we have historically of the Bible, and you cannot date the book of Job. And that's what's so heavy about this.
Well, but let me show you something, Jeff.
Yeah.
When you are talking about this, and now hear what you just said. And I'm not disagreeing with you. You said dating Job, but here's what you can date. One, you can date language. You can date and you can date the beginning of concepts. You can date a culture and the cultural context in which that talking was going on. So now, from that perspective, Jeff.
I ask you a question, the Michigan man. And Stanley, I see you're on. You're done listed color. You jump in here when you're ready. But I'm gonna say this. In saying that, when you're talking about Job, and is he speaking in prose or is he speaking in literal when he talks about the Leviathan and how big it is? And that it kindles the leaves with its breath, number one. Number two, every single civilization, period, has a redemption story in it. Okay? There's no exception. I don't care if you go to Chinese culture, African culture, Norwegian cultures, whatever. Whenever you have a history, you have a redemption story. Why do you have a redemption story in every single peoples on earth?
Every ancient society has a Genesis flood story too.
No. Well, I'll give you the answer to that, Jeff.
China does not have a flood story.
Okay.
I can give you an answer to that.
No, well, I'm asking.
Oh, okay. Because you have to go into that culture and see what it was that culture was trying to do and why they determined those stories. And here's the thing, Jeff. If they all have one, then why not chronologically link those redemptive stories to see if they're connected, if something was borrowed from them? And then I think that's when you make if you want to make an absolute statement about them, you don't pick one.
I can pick all of them, yeah. and it would all add up to the same thing.
The
redemption story was given in the very beginning of man.
No. The redemptive story of what?
The
redemptive story of what, Jeff?
It's when the Bible explains to you the redemption story, that, and it says that when Adam fell because he listened, Eve listened to the snake and cooked the food or gave the apple, whatever it was that they shouldn't have eaten of.
Uh-huh.
They did something they weren't supposed to. Okay, when that story happened, God gave the redemptive story right from the beginning, before there was anybody else born on earth.
Dude, the Adam and Eve story, how old is it? Dude, the Adam and Eve story is not even 6,000 years old. What are you talking about?
Wait, man, the Adam and Eve, can I say this? Once again, it doesn't need to be. Once again.
If you're using that as the to say all cultures have that type of story, then you're wrong, because that is not an African concept. A falling nature of man, that is not an African concept. That's not in Africa.
There was always a redeemer of man's story in every historic in every peoples. Now there's some. Now you have to understand something. Now Africa is so varied as far as what they got into, because Africa was the hotbed seat of idolatry. Idolatry.
That concept, Jeff, is not even 3,000 years old. What you're calling idolatry.
What's not 3,000 years old?
You couldn't tell them they was in no idolatry. What do you mean?
I know you couldn't.
Here's
my point.
Up with the culture you live in.
No.
What makes you think that what you're doing is not idolatry?
I'll give you one quick one, Jeff.
Because we don't worship idols.
The concept of hell. That was never in Africa. Nowhere.
It may not have been.
Okay. So now,
and there may have been a good reason for that too.
Oh God. Okay. Well, we.
Oh God, what?
you're picking and choosing, Jeff.
Yeah.
That's
fine.
No, I'm not picking and choosing. What? I didn't say anything. I made no definitive statement yet.
No.
So you cannot say. I said there may be. What does maybe mean?
Well, that's maybe, but that doesn't prove anything.
Okay, so I did not make a definitive statement. I'm not picking and choosing anything.
Okay.
I'm telling
you. Just like you believe
in evolution or maybe.
See, I mean, that's an easy answer, Stanley. That's right. I mean, he's right. See, that's an easy answer, Stanley.
And my point is none of that makes any difference to me.
Right.
None of that makes any difference to me because of this, Stanley. I had a personal encounter with Jesus.
That's what
I'm telling you.
So now you're going to tell him he didn't, Stanley?
Precisely the point. And
that's
what I'm saying.
Are you going to tell him he didn't, Stanley?
Stanley, you can't tell me
what I
experienced.
I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying that just because he said that doesn't make it so.
Stanley,
it's true for him.
It's true to me. It happened to me.
I know.
Stanley,
I too have had a personal relationship.
Here we go. Another one who had a personal.
Yes, absolutely. I can tell you exactly what happened, Stanley. Stanley, listen. Here's exactly what happened. I was laid off from work, and I was out cleaning the barn. I remember this as clear as it was yesterday. I was listening to the radio. The radio went off. Okay? A voice, I could feel the breath on the back of my neck, and a voice said, "It's going to be all right." A few seconds later, the radio came back on. The next day, I got a phone call with a job offer.
Okay.
That voice was real. That voice was real. There was nobody else around, Stanley.
Okay, but let's take your example that voice for real. What makes you think that it was God?
Well, hold on, Stanley. This is where. Stanley.
It was
Stanley.
Either God or Satan,
Stanley.
One or the other.
Stanley, I'm trying to help you, man. This is the point to that. If that voice, who he said was God, whether or not it was God is not the issue right there. It's if that voice caused him to go on, and that's an experience that he had, and it caused him to go forth, then that's the point. So you leave it alone.
You have to leave it alone because you cannot.
That's right.
You cannot. This is the thing, Stanley. I told you before, I believe a little bit differently than a lot of people do about biblical things. I believe everything the Bible mentioned is true. I believe it's physical, okay? I believe it's physical as well, and I believe that there are beings that we don't understand who and what they are, et cetera. Now, I told you I studied ufology, right? That my brother and I were heavy in the ufology. Okay, we studied it for about 7 years straight because we had seen them.
What's ufology?
Now, UFOs, the, okay. The study of UFOs.
UFOs.
Right. Okay, study of UFOs. We saw them. And not only did we see them, I saw them on more than one occasion. And I was working at the airport one time when they scrambled the jets from the Youngstown Air Base to go after two of them. We could see on the computer screen. And we could see them things take off as soon as those jets got near them. And they just shot out of the way. I was scared to go back and forth home to work. And I wasn't saved at that time. I was not a Christian. Didn't know what these things were. I knew they were there. There's people that claim, at least 6,000, 7,000 people in the United States that claim to have been abducted by these things. I've never been abducted. Okay, but nobody can argue with these people because they're telling you, listen, these things took me. They did tests on my body, blah, blah, blah. And la, 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 they go through and they tell these stories. Uh-huh. Then you have, just last week, the Soviet Prime Minister Medvedev comes out and says, well, you know, we have a file on all these alien people that have come here, and they live here now because their world is dying, and they are trying to, more or less... Yeah, they're trying to get into our bloodline and so that they can adapt to our way of living here. And they live. Some of them have adapted and they live among us. And then some of them still they live under the ocean. They live in remote places of the earth, et cetera, et cetera. It's, the story fits every study of UFO that I ever did. Well, number one, number two, my biblical theory it fits as well because. I feel like that the story of salvation is real. Now, I really believe this now, okay, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses it, bought and paid for sin. Now, if these things are trying to get into the human race, this is a theory only. I'm not telling you that this is the truth or anything like that. This is my thought and theory. They might be trying to get human blood in them so that they can be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and get back in the kingdom of heaven where they were thrown out of. They were thrown out. That's crazy. I said, but here's the thing. They were thrown out of heaven and there was no payment made for them to get back. But when we messed up on earth and got thrown, and moved out of the presence of God, God made a way for us. And they're mad about it. So they make false religions and they make Christianity look stupid and evil and ignorant downright a lot of times because the people are ignorant at times.
Now, you know what you do with that, Stanley? You take that information and you put it in a little jar and put a cap on it and put it up on the shelf and keep moving.
Exactly, because you can't do nothing else with it.
No, Joe. So, Jeff, you're not calling Stanley an alien, are you?
So I don't understand. Coming back to six of what she said, she had a personal experience. Let's say she did have that voice, but she still didn't explain that. She went to the conclusion that she thought it's either God or the devil that talked to me.
That's his explanation, Stanley. That is his explanation. He's saying that voice was God to him.
Exactly.
What's wrong with it?
Stanley. Now, look.
But that doesn't make it true.
It makes what the true part about it is, Stanley, is that he said that he heard the voice, it felt it on the back of his neck, and he was able to go on based off that. That's the truth.
But is it true or not?
Wait a minute. Outside of that, Stanley, it don't need to be true.
Stanley, it's either true or I was hallucinating. One or the
or
other.
Or lying. Right.
Or lying.
I don't think you were lying. I don't know what happened. I don't know.
Well, Stanley, this is the point of all that we discuss. Of all the things that we discuss, not knowing, we don't necessarily know.
No, Jesse, don't. You always state what you believe. You don't say, and you don't start your thing saying, I think, or I believe, or you always state your belief as truth. That's how it goes. Now, you don't do what we just said. Say, I don't know. I think I heard you, God.
Okay,
and like
okay. Can I ask you a question, Stanley?
Stanley,
what's your definition of truth? Yours.
Something that can be factually proven.
Huh?
You? What?
Something that we can all be consistent. Like yesterday, there were 20 kids who got killed. That's the truth. There wasn't 10 kids. There wasn't 5 kids. There wasn't 20 years. There were 20 kids who got killed. That's the truth.
Okay, so you're talking about something that can be something that's in an objective realm that can be sensed. The sensing it has to be a part of that, right? Because you're talking about bodies, which can be sensed. They can be touched. They can be saw, right? So you're talking about something that's
proven. Or proven also.
Okay, now when you get into the psychological realm of things, which is unsensible, right? Because it's non-material, right? So then if somebody's saying something inside of that realm, what would you call that?
Well, if somebody saying something that well, I would do a scan in the brain to see what region of his brain is he talking about and see if that's doing something, because we can see that also.
Okay, but that would be just something happening in the brain. But when they're talking about something psychological that can't be sensed, right? This is what I'm telling you. That's why you can't argue with truth in that realm.
No, you cannot.
It's not arguable.
And
so
here's
they don't
the
argue
thing,
with
though,
people
Stanley,
about truth in that realm.
But Stanley, here's one thing that I can tell you. This is something that's very proven, and it proves itself out daily. We had standards in this country, whether we had wrongdoing in it or not, which we did. We had evil men that were turned out of prisons that came over here. We had the Puritans that wanted to worship God freely that came over here. And you had a mixed bag of people that came to this country. So this country is founded by all types of people from across Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as in results of that thing, you have standards, and when you screw your standards up, you no longer have a cohesive society to live in, and people start losing their freaking minds.
Right.
You have to understand.
I agree with you, and I agree with you with that, but what standard do you believe that we lost?
First of all,
the Six Commandments dealing with man's relationship with other men.
Whether they were made up by men that just observed and say, we better do things this way,
right,
or not. I don't believe that. I believe that the manual was given from heaven. I believe the manual for men to live by was given from God.
The proof is in the pudding. We brought thousands of M1A rifles home from World War II. Almost every household had one. Almost every soldier brought his rifle back with him from World War II. And during the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, we did not have these shootings. Why? Because we all agreed on the first six commandments.
I don't know if you can give that universal explanation.
Sure you can.
Whoa. Only from this perspective, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's probably some people who haven't killed but have never heard of those six commandments. So to assume that the reason you didn't have any killing,
now
everybody understood
now,
those six commandments.
Now, here's where we're going to get to know. This is where we're going to get a little ethereal.
Do you agree?
When the law of the land matches that of the law of God, then there's peace in the land.
The law of
when
God
it,
was written by men.
The basic,
those laws were written by men.
Whatever you say.
Those are synonymous, dude.
The basic law, the basic secular law in this nation from Deuteronomy. It came
who is that?
From
What's his last
those
name?
Six commandments that came from those six commandments with dealing with man's relationship to other men.
Is Deuteronomy a girl or a boy?
It's the name of a book.
Oh, who wrote that book?
Moses.
Oh, okay.
So you're saying that the law that we have comes from Moses?
No, let me tell you something. The law, the law that you had were given. Listen. The administration laws that you have are given from two sources, and this is something the Bible teachers aren't going to tell you. They were given by two sources. One of them is they came directly from God to Moses, and he gave them out to the people, because Moses was the intercessor for the children of Israel. Okay? Now that's one. Number two, Moses' father-in-law of the black woman that he married, which wasn't the fact that she was black that they were mad, it was that she was an Ethiopian, and his father-in-law was Jethro, who was a Midianite priest. Now, figure out who the Midianites are, Michigan man, and he was a Midianite priest. And Moses had told him, look, God has made us a promise. Why don't you just come with us, and you'll live well in the land as well. And he said, that's okay. I'm going to do my thing where I live, and you go do your thing. Godspeed be with you. He said, but you'll be eyes to us in the world. He said, okay, I'll tell you how to do it. Jethro saw Moses trying to rule over the people, and he was tripping. Because he was tired, he's getting wore out every day. And Jethro said, you know what? That's because you got this all wrong. He said, you need to make captains over so many, then make lieutenants over so many. And he gave him a whole form of government. And that's recorded in that book called the Bible. So some laws that we are seeing in the Bible are Moses's from God. And some laws that we're seeing are given from Jethro, his father-in-law, because he taught him how to administrate.
So you're saying to me that if we wouldn't have the Bible, that we would not have been able to have the law that we have now?
You would not be having the weather patterns you have right now?
Stanley, watch this, Stanley. Now I believe Jeff is as crazy as a vegetable. I do.
But that's
my opinion, and he's allowed to have that. I believe Jeff, as it comes relates to that stuff, is crazy as a vegetable.
Now once again, I'm gonna.
That's my opinion.
Okay, now.
But I ain't even argue with him about it, because we ain't gonna know who the fool is.
Michigan man, I respect you for that.
Right.
Stanley, I'm not done. I'm getting ready to tell you.
What you did, just shock me. I'm sorry. You said without the Bible, we would not be having the law.
That don't shock you,
now.
Stanley. Quit playing. Yeah. Quit playing, yeah. Stanley. Now you know that don't shock you.
Local caller, you're on air.
You know that.
Hey, local caller, this is Shirley Husa from the Washington Times Urban Game Changers. Y'all stop beating up Jeff.
I got his back.
Stanley, y'all play a hating the brother. Let him preach. Let him testify. Let him tell his testimony. Mocking my brother. What's up with that?
Hey, Seth, don't
believe the thing he got kept, right? You believe the thing he got kept? Without the Bible, we wouldn't have any law, also? You believe the thing he got kept, also?
You would not.
I believe what Jeff is saying has some clarity.
Not true.
If you wouldn't sit down, right, you can't do that.
Whoa! Hey,
everybody
stop right now. Everybody stop. Now, Stanley, Michigan man, you hold off. 818, hold off one quick second, because we got about 12 minutes left. I'm going to let you do your thing. I got a local caller on the line. Local caller, say something to me.
The only thing I wanted to say was I can't get your station.
Yeah.
I thought you weren't on the air today.
Transmitter is down. That's all. Can you get us on iHeartRadio?
When you guys were on that other call dial number, which I don't remember what it was,
uh-huh,
we had trouble getting you sometimes.
Well, that was because the power in the station wasn't very much. This is a really good signal, and it puts us out hundreds of miles, and you know, not just 20. That would be nice.
You know, you can.
Lousy signals, but okay, that's the power of the air. I guess Satan don't want, you know, you guys.
You know that. You know.
Absolutely.
You know they can hear us in Pittsburgh, Jeff.
Yes, downtown Pittsburgh. I listen to us all the way downtown.
Wow. I'm in California. I can hear you.
I'm still trying to get you on the station there. Okay.
Thank you.
On the internet though, right?
Yes, we are. Blog Talk Radio or at Tracy and Friends, or just go to tracyandfriends.com.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, 818, go ahead and do your thing, babe.
Oh, this is Shirley Hussard.
Yes, ma'am.
I got your back. Stanley, need a little slow your roll, girl. And Michigan man, that's why you're selling tires. Let's correct.
What'd she say? That's why I'm doing what?
Selling tires. Michigan man. Don't you?
Oh, Michigan man. Oh, okay, I got it now.
Oh, he old school.
That's
he
funny.
Can't get it.
Funny.
Wake up.
That's
you got 12
funny.
Minutes left. Got now down to 9. We need to take heed to what the brother's saying. You can't dissect the Bible and understand the half understanding of it in 20 minutes. You can't. You can't.
No. No. I've been in it 35 years, 40. And I'm talking about continual study. I'm not talking about just looking at a scripture every now and then. I'm talking about daily study. I study every day something, every single day. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. The biblical conduct as far as man with the earth is directly proportional to all mishaps that happen in the earth. There are some natural things that happen. There's no doubt about it. The earth goes through, it's as if the earth is alive itself.
It is.
Well, like I said, it goes. I do too. And it goes through changes. It's, I do not believe that we're got too many cars, and so we're affecting the atmosphere, although we need to make sure that our atmosphere is clean, because God gave us the order to subdue, replenish, and multiply on earth. So he wants it clean for us. He made it clean for us.
Right.
But let's not forget those little things called volcanoes are still around, and those things put a whole bunch of stuff up out in the air, more so than our cars or any of that other stuff, than these people are trying to come with this pity-patty immature, asinine argument of global warming or climate change. That's asinine. The planet will put you off of it first.
But Jeff, what you just said was more asinine than global warming.
Right, that's what I said. You have to be careful, Jeff.
No.
I'm talking loony.
To you.
Loony, I don't know what.
Once again.
Loonyness over. Without the Bible, we can't have the law. Wow.
Wait a minute. First of all, Stanley, wait a minute, because I did not tell you that. Number one. I asked you the question. Stick said something about that. I did not tell you that. So let's not attribute what Stick said to what I said.
Okay.
Now, as far as it goes, the law is set up in order. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity, listen, gravity works no matter whether you believe in it or not.
Oh.
Your butt jumps up, it's going to come back down.
Wow.
And unless you can go 120 miles, can I finish? Unless you can go 120 miles an hour, you will not beat gravity. Because that's the maximum speed where you cannot stay, where you escape gravity's grasp. Now that's scientific.
Now you know why I'm coming from. You see? And now he's saying scientific. He has no proof and he's saying scientific. It's scientific. Really?
What are you saying? Stanley,
there's no science of what you're saying. None.
120 miles an hour is not the
No, what you just said to make a quotation, there's no scientific for what you're saying. None.
Like what? What are you talking about? I don't know which part you're talking about.
Jeff, I meant to Stanley, you already know that Jeff jumps in and out of characters, different characters. Now, he did just have on his scientist clothes a minute ago.
Listen.
Now, you know he'll jump out of them clothes and jump into his warlock clothes.
No, let me tell you something. You don't understand. You do not understand one thing. You do not understand the science of light, number one. Okay?
The science of light. What is the science of light, Jeff?
Stanley, will you relax?
The science of light. Oh, okay.
The science of light. If you could travel at the speed of light, Stanley, what would be the cause and effect?
If you speed at the speed of light, time goes stop.
What?
Basically, that means it's the Einstein thing. The E=mc2.
Whatever it is, I said, if you could travel at the speed of light, what would be the cause and effect?
The cause would be that if you speed at the speed of light, that means I would still be 20 years old, and let's say you would be maybe 20 years later, 40 or 50 years old.
You don't know, do you, Stanley?
Yeah.
Well,
Michigan man, I got something to prove here, and I'm going to prove it before we got to go.
Okay, go ahead and prove it.
The measurement of light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Am I correct, Stanley?
No, who said that? God?
No, that's scientific measurement.
Okay. All right.
Although light can travel and does travel at times much faster than that.
Well, what did God say about that?
God is light, the Bible says.
What's God's formula for the speed of light?
Oh, I don't know about the formula. He just says that he is light. He says, I am light.
Okay.
Okay, light is immortal. It cannot die.
Okay.
It doesn't. If you could get your body to move 186,000 miles per second, you would not die.
Hey, Jeff.
Okay.
You can go right back to, I think that's the traditions of scientific fact.
The science of Ra
will give you that one, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, let me give you a little nugget before you go, man.
Jeff, you got 3 minutes left. Can you say something positive that everybody can agree upon?
I'm going to say this.
Can you bring the box home?
I'm going to bring it home real quick. Go ahead, Michigan man, real quick. Do your thing.
A little nugget, Jeff. The Africans knew better than to personify the creative process, and so what they did was, to keep balance with themselves, they used everything in nature and every process to develop the laws of nature, and then they saw creation in all of that. They knew once they tried to personify the creative force down into a person, they would be off balance.
Are the Egyptians Africans, Michigan man?
I'm gonna give you that one for free.
Are the Egyptians Africans?
They never called themselves Africans.
Are they on the continent of Africa?
Absolutely.
Did they have God?
It wasn't even called the continent of Africa then. Go ahead.
It's called Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Oh, Ethiopia.
That was for free, Jeff.
Okay, now let me say this, and this is something that I'll say to you. Our knowledge of our world went away from us because of our fall.
Okay.
We knew every science of this world. That's why you have evidence of things that have been done in past times that they cannot reproduce to today. We grew down. We were dumbed down. We don't have those knowledges anymore.
Hey, and the dumbing down. Wow. Hey, Jeff. And the more, what you call that, juvenile the history or
younger the history, the more dumbed down we got.
I agree with you because not everything was translated. But once again, in light of biblical study and in light of biblical utterance, what it says, everything fits. And I know it doesn't to you, but I'd have to take time with you to show you. And Stanley, I really wish I could sit down with you face to face.
The philosophy of my art says everything fits, Jeff.
Not philosophy. I didn't say philosophy. I'm talking about cause and effect words that come out of the Bible. I'm not talking about a philosophy.
I know better.
Okay?
Than that.
Okay. We're not talking about philosophy.
I know better than that.
Okay, you can say that if you want to.
The words in the Bible are philosophy. What do you mean?
No. The Bible says some very pointed things. It gives you causes.
It's still philosophy, Jeff. It comes out of the mind.
To you. No. That's to you, my friend. It's not to me. It's not philosophy because it works. If it doesn't work, then
not
there's
philosophy.
Nothing to say.
That's your definition of philosophy?
No. If it works, it is not just philosophy. It becomes truth.
Okay.
It's the truth. My friend, we will see you tomorrow. Just to let you know that they're going to name Tim Scott the first black from South Carolina senator. Senator in the U.S. Senate. The Republicans have done that, and we'll talk about that tomorrow as well. And some of these other things. Thank you, everybody. God bless, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Thank you, Jeff.
Hey, babe. Thanks. Love you too.